Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Garage Hammer, episode 29. On tonight's episode, Invasion Kenosha 3, Speed Painting Made Stupid, and a whole lot of upcoming tournament info. So, without any further ado, here are your hosts, David Whitetuck and Christopher Barnett.
Welcome to episode 29 of Garage Hammer. My name is Christopher Barnett. Go ahead and go, and then I'll introduce myself.
Don't keep talking. I'm going to talk quietly behind you. It's going to be like a sound.
No, it isn't. So I'm Skip Stevenson.
And I'm Tor Johnson.
Actually, I'm Snorri Facebiter.
Snorri Nosebiter. 10 o'clock. Time to go to bed.
I'm Eli.
We're actually recording way before.
I'm Eli, and I'm up past my bedtime.
Eli, go to bed. Episode 29. And that, folks, is Christopher Barnett, who needs
some introduction.
He needs no introduction. If you've been listening to the show, you know who he is. He is the brains of this outfit, Christopher Barnett.
And the spleen and or pancreas right over here to my right is David QXTM Darth Whitetech.
That would be me.
So
let's thank our sponsors.
As always, we need to take a minute to thank our sponsors. Unique Gifts and Games in Grays Lake, Illinois. Unseen Lurker, the tabletop wargaming magazine. Game Preserve stores located throughout Indiana. Urza's Den, custom painting and sculpting. And Battle Foam, protecting your army. You can find links and information for all of our sponsors, both in the show notes and also on our
website. Protecting your army. You didn't say it that way.
I scratched out the extra A.
Oh, did you?
Protecting your army. Walk this way. You can find information for all of our sponsors, both in the show notes and also on our website, Garage Hammer. Net. That was a dot.
And what a dot it was.
Garage Hammer. Net.
Boing.
Net.
Splat.
Net. I'll keep going. So help me.
Garage
Hammer. Outrage. Net. News and rumors, I guess.
Okay, so since Storm of Magic came out 2 weeks ago, it's pretty much been, hey, Storm of Magic's here. Got some more Storm of Magic. Storm of Magic. Today, two new models to buy in Finecast for Storm of Magic.
Yep. We've got, besides the Chimera, the Black Dragon, the Cocktress, what was the other one? Manticore. What's the new one?
I don't know, two of the guys. Two of the,
you're talking about the Fen Beast and is it the Truthsayer or the Dark Emissary?
I think it's
Dark Emissary. Is it the one with the cloak over his face? Harrison's just off. Okay, so the two spellcasters.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, there is something to mention, though. I just saw it. Did you happen to see the Carmine Dragon on Warhammer Forge? Check out Warhammer Forge. They've got a Chaos Dwarf section. Mm-hmm. They've got the monsters, but they also have an Empire section. And they just released the Carmine Dragon and the Archmage of the Lore of Death, which is this beautiful woman with this veil over her head. And it's crazy. It's really beautiful.
Cool. Something like that running.
That's a lot of bread, Fred.
We all know that.
Let's just say it's a reasonably large amount of pound. Or quid? What the hell's a quid? I guess it's a pound. It's like saying buck, right?
Yeah, it's like saying a buck.
But anyway, so you should check out the Carmine Dragon. This is a new model. So obviously, Timercon is more than just Chaos, more than just Chaos Dwarfs. It's also the Empire who has to respond to this incursion, and apparently they've come up with this great new model. It's a lot more than you and I think can easily afford, but man, what a beautiful thing. When you have a chance to check it out, I strongly recommend it.
I shall.
You're not eating a mic on the microphone, I hope.
No, I'm gagging on the microphone. Hold on.
Ew.
That was gum. I almost choked on it trying to keep it away from my face.
You should keep it away from the microphone, too, yucky face.
Microphone checka.
Microphone chewa.
If I was chewing the microphone, that would make it a different reason why I'm gagging. So,
yeah. What else do we have here? Well, the Chaos Dwarf stuff, they are continuing to change the rules up a little bit. I think we talked about this last time. But
yes, we did.
It's at this point, it's anybody's guess. Now, Dave, you and I are going to be able to make it to Games Day, and that's from our perspective on this recording, that means next week. So by the time this recording comes out, my guess is it will be like a day from the corner. It's Saturday the 30th mm-hmm. of July, and personally, I'm hoping for an announcement, but at this point, I don't know what to expect.
I'm just going to, I mean, we should thank Mark Zielinski and his lovely daughter, Kylie.
Kylie.
because they bought tickets and couldn't go.
So thank you very much. Harrison, David, and I are going to enjoy Games Day thanks to your generosity. So thank you very much.
Yeah, which it really makes it nice because of the fact that I really was thinking that I was going to go to Gen Con and that got scratched.
Money is a little hard to come by these days.
Yep.
So, but Games Day should be a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll have some news for somebody.
We'll be covering it.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about it. Who knows? If you and I wind up driving down there, maybe we'll bring the mini recorder and we'll just do like all them other podcasts and like talk in the car on the way back, like while it's all fresh in our heads. Like,
why the F not?
Yeah.
You're all.
Okay.
All right. What else is going on here? Nothing on the advance order front, but we should be seeing. Now, you're pretty much always on the email front. You're a lot better than I am about that.
I'm guessing we should be getting the incoming. By the time people are hearing this, it probably will be out or out within days is my guess. I'm thinking next week we're going to get.
Let's keep our fingers crossed.
If not this Tuesday, then definitely. Because I think if nothing else, you'll get it. Well, the Monday after Games Day, you'll get a ton of announcements. So.
Well, let's hope for some news. Let's hope for something exciting and new coming out. I think my personal hope at this point, as much as I'd love to see Bretonians, I want to see some ogres. I want to see ogre love. Not literally. That's a metaphoric thing.
I sure as hell hope so.
Dirty ogre love. Doot-doot-doot-doot. It's like that, you know, California love song. I think that'll be Dr. Dre's next big hit. Ogre love.
Is that like, that'll be like the comeback of Morris Day and the Time.
It's
ogre love.
I can see that.
Owee, owee, oh.
I would buy that CD. I'd download it from iTunes.
Wanna grab your gut plate. Bum, bum,
bum, bum. My ogre love.
Owee, owee.
Yeah, that's
we should just keep singing this and making up lyrics. People, this is quality.
That's a hit. It'd be, thank God we're singing right after we told people.
You know,
people
I don't know why
sing.
These shows go 4 hours. We cut everything out that's not really germane.
That's why you folks still listen to us. It's because we're a quality podcast. We never go off topic.
Ogre yeah, we
love.
Do.
Ogre love. Maybe that's the name of the episode. Who knows? So, what do we got? I think that's it. News and Rumors is pretty short and sweet this week. It sounds like everything that is news and fit to print isn't out until next week.
Yeah.
All right.
And, well, yeah, that's about it.
Shall we hit the manager section?
All right. So, yeah, let's do the garage manager section.
Now, Dave... I think the Garage Manager section is brought to you by...
Gas Orc Superstore.
Superstore. That's pretty weird.
Gas Orc Superstore.
Do they have a wide range of products?
They do, Chris. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
In fact, they not only have a wide range of products, but that width encompasses Chessex Dice. Vallejo Paints.
Who's the biggest orc on the planet? David Whitek. Chaos Orc Superstore.
My ogre love.
Oh, wee, oh, wee, oh. All right, including Chessex Dice.
Vallejo Paints. And assorted
board and miniature-based games.
They not only stock the current GW releases, most of them are new, but a few are loose and painted. Those are clearly labeled in the photos because at Chaos Superstore, the photo... on the ad is the actual item he's going to ship to you. What you see is what you get.
All right, you freaky folks out there, listen to my words. If you have not yet gone on to Chaos Orc, go look at their stuff because it's really good. You'll want to buy stuff there. You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's cheaper than you think. They'll have the models
hours.
You want, and you'll be
sometimes
a winner.
They ship in less than 24 hours.
I'm thinking we need to do a dual layer. Nobody has done dual layer podcasting before.
Nobody.
Nobody's ever done
that.
It's like a melody and a harmony. You'll just say the info, and I'll go with like the little side, you know, like the color come.
And if you do like I do, you'll order stuff from Chaos Orc.
Superstar.
I seem to recall that I tried to do regulators before Warren G and Night Dog, and you didn't know who the hell it was, did you? By then, hopefully, you've done your homework.
See, the beauty is that when people want to pay us to have you sing,
yeah.
You don't like it, and you're terrible at it, but then...
I'm not any better at it now. It's still terrible, but now I'm doing it on my own time.
I don't owe anybody. I'm stupid for myself.
Cranky lawyer, you're a big punk. Yeah. How. And nobody likes you because you smell slightly bad like cheese that's been sitting out.
Hey, don't interrupt. This is my bass solo.
I'm not interrupting. And that was like, just like Rock Band. Oh, God, it's still going. I'm interrupting you now. Stop the madness.
Here we go.
All right. Hey, Garage Manager section, modeling, gaming, and reading.
Yeah, and all of that you just heard right there, folks, that was all brought to you by Cazorg Superstores. Just remember.
My modeling, I think I more or less covered right before, not Invasion Kenosha, but Bits.
Right.
Since then, the day I got home from Bits, that night, we had Thunderstorm from Hell. Basically, it was like hurricane conditions in a flatland. And yeah. I didn't have power for a week. And then the week after that, I had to work overtime every day. So how much mounting did I do? Nothing. Mm. Done. Your turn.
Well, that first week we were out of power, I didn't lose power. I was one of the lucky ones, but...
Yeah, you were fine. There was a reason I stayed at work, like, every day, is because work was where refrigeration and air conditioning and power was. So when I went home, I had to go to bed. There was nothing else to do.
Right. But, no, in fact, we recorded the first episode on the first night of the power outage.
Yeah.
And by the time the power came back on for everybody else, I had finished editing and put it out.
So what this means is that in the 2 weeks that you had after Bits, you actually only started painting...
Three or four days
before the event.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't. I just couldn't paint. Real life got in the way of the painting.
That's true.
So Tuesday I sat down and I painted 33 skeletons. I got them mostly done, finished them up on Wednesday morning after swimming lessons. Painted 50 ghouls.
Mm-hmm.
Put on a base coat of paint on the 30 zombies. That was on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, I got most of the zombies finished and went back and double-checked that everything else was kind of the way I wanted. Oh, and I did the 10... dogs.
So, wraiths, dogs, skeletons, zombies, vampire, what else?
Then Friday I did the four wraiths. I finished off all the zombies. I did, Harrison needed 9 more thunderers for his army. And then I had to convert a model into a BSB, because they don't have a vampire BSB. I did that, put it together, primed it, let it sit, finished off the other main character vampire model, and then went back and finished off the BSB. Well, that was Friday, so it was early Saturday morning, I guess you would say. You know, like 2 or 3 o'clock.
Just in time for Invasion Kenosha 3.
Yep, so I painted, I think we figured it was 138 models, in most of them in 48 hours. The other ones in the last 26 after that.
Wowee.
That's a lot of painting. But I've almost got a full vampire count army painted this week. So, I mean, another 800 points would make it a nice 2,400 point army. And about 500 of that is the Tomb Kings that I painted none of, because I didn't take any in my army today. So, I'll have a 2,400 point army really shortly.
That's excellent. Good job.
Yeah, and it didn't look bad either. You saw them. They actually turned out pretty decent. I mean, it wasn't like they didn't look necessarily like they were rushed and done in 2 days. They just...
They're definitely table ready to go.
Yeah.
They're good.
I was pleased. So that's all my modeling.
Got any reading for me?
I finished Horse Rising, and then I read False Gods, the second book.
You still enjoying them?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're really good. The fluff for 40K is surprisingly good. I'm reading the third book right now, Galaxy in Flames. I'm about a third of the way through it.
Pulling yourself outside of being a fantasy player primarily, do you actually have a preference of these over the fantasy novels, or do you think they're both equally good?
They're both equally good. I would say that 40K has a much larger scope. Fantasy has got the fantasy world scope. It's pretty much... You know, we came from here, we're at about this point, and there's a very almost finite amount of time in that area, and it's a I mean, it's I'm not going to say it's run-of-the-mill fantasy, but it's, I mean, it's the fantasy we've all become accustomed to.
Sure.
And that's pretty much what it is.
It's a fairly classic fantasy by our definition.
Exactly.
It's Tolkien-esque generic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not using that as a bad term either. I'm not saying that a Warhammer fantasy is generic, but 40K is just really kind of different from other science fiction that I've read.
It's a spinoff of... It's space fantasy turned into something a lot unlike anything else.
And, I mean, you hear people raging every time a new Horus Heresy book comes out.
Raging, bad raging. Good.
Just all excited. They can't wait to buy it.
Frothing
to pick it up. Well, like I said, I started reading these books just over 2 weeks ago. I'm on the third book, and I would be done with the third book and on the fourth book, except I had to stop for doing nothing with the last 3 days except painting.
Yeah.
But they're freaking... fantastic. I can't thank Brian Steele for can't thank him enough for all the pushing he was doing. Hey, you really ought to just get started and read those.
He's a big fan of 40K. He really enjoys the universe. He seems to really enjoy the game. So I'm glad that he was able to turn you on to something you enjoy.
Whether you play it or not, if you like science fiction, the fluff I think is really good. I was surprised though because you read this book and it's like 100 Space Marines could take on like a whole planet. It seems like in the book, the gameplay does not translate over to the books as well. Because Space Marines would basically...
It has to be a game.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you have to even them out. It was just so funny, because you read them, and it's like, you know, we send down 1,000 people, and we wipe out a planet. And I'm like, damn.
that's a long job. Honey won't be home tonight. Got to wipe out a planet.
And they do it. They're tough. But
wipe your Space Marine boots on the carpet. Because that needs to be like a sitcom. I married a Space Marine. Clank, clank, clank. Honey, I am home. Clean my bolter. Put that at the end of the show.
Honey, I'm home. Clean my bolter. Oh, my goodness. What else have I been reading? So I read Kings of War, the rules, a couple more times.
Yes.
Because we had a game of that. We
certainly did.
I've been reading the Warpath rules.
I have only really breezed through them. I'm not familiar enough to know what's going on with Warpath yet, but you were telling me a little bit about what you read.
Yeah.
Sounds very promising.
It's very similar to Kings of War in many respects. It is a skirmish-based game.
Well, that makes sense.
You know, and there are more science fiction-y items, but it's still pretty similar. And the few things I noticed that they've changed from the stuff I've learned about for 40K, I was telling Luke about them, and he thought they were really excellent changes.
Luke was, or perhaps still is, a 40K player. We're talking about our friend Luke Fritz from our gaming group.
He expressed the same opinion that Joe Cook expressed, which was he really likes 40K. He just doesn't really care for this edition that much.
Of 5th edition?
Yeah.
There's big talk about 6th. Big talk.
Yeah, which is great for me because now if those rumors start to get more and more confirmed, then I don't have to worry about delving into 40K so much. I can wait for the re-release and learn with everybody else.
If I was going to jump back in, I don't know what I'd play. That's my problem. I like the Eldar a little bit. I like the Dark Eldar a little bit. I like Chaos Marines a little bit. I just don't know. I like Tyranids. I like crazy angry bugs.
Well, I've got a bunch of orcs.
Yeah.
And Harrison's got a battle force of Chaos Space Marines.
Maybe I'll play orcs too, just to irk you. Except they'll make...
It wouldn't irk me. I would think it was awesome.
I'll paint my guys in like tuxedos with monocles and like, you know, the 1880s like twirling bad guy mustaches with stovetop hats.
That would be awesome.
Ye old wog. We shall defeat you, Chaos Marines, for we are the orcs. Ye old battle wagon shall smite thee.
I'm done. I'm done with my reading.
Obviously, we've been covering Kings of War a little bit. We hope to do that for Garage Gamer number 3, so we've been practicing and playing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I've been playing with my War Machine books and getting ideas for the direction I want to go. Tomb Kings... I've had to fine tooth comb my Chaos Dwarves to try and come up with a viable 1600 point list, which is frankly not as easy as I was hoping it would be. I've only ever played larger games with them, so that was a challenge. Other than that, what else am I? I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh, I want to do a D&D game, and so I've been reading through the Player's Handbook. I want to run a campaign.
I see.
I'm going to make sure that you don't hear about it. I'm going to keep it from you.
That would be the best plan.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's sad. That's right. You can only role play if you play an outrageous character named Skip Stevenson.
Skip Stevenson!
Anyway, so the concept was to do a play 4th edition, but superimpose it over Warhammer. It's that Warhammer post the Great War,
right?
That sort of post apocalyptic Warhammer fantasy realm that I wanted to try. So I've been reading a lot of the Wizards of the Coast 4th edition D&D rules, just to keep the system simple, so that people can jump right in. And that's about it for my reading. Gaming. We've got tons of gaming, I guess, but we can talk about it when we talk about Invasion Kenosha 3.
Yeah, because we were just there today, just a few hours ago.
That's
Came
right.
home and ate. Look, we'll go back. We'll come back through the tournament scene updates, and we got a couple of letters from readers. We got a bunch of tournaments to announce, and then we can talk about our games at Invasion Kenosha.
Sounds like a plan.
And Harrison will be joining us for that. So
yes, he will. He was there.
All right. In a minute.
If a game is only as good as the person who plays it, then the best games can be found at Unique Gifts and Games. Collectible and classic card games, board games, RPGs, tabletop miniatures, hobby tools, and more, all found within. And so is an amazing community of fellow gamers, as well as dedicated gaming tables, terrain, and a library of open games to try. It's also your source for Unseen Lurker, the independent tabletop wargaming magazine. Stop by for Warhammer Fantasy Mondays, 40K Tuesdays, and War Machine Wednesdays. Demos and tournaments are alive and well at UGG. Check their website at uniquegg.com for their calendar of events or call 847-548-8270. Don't forget about the rewards program, their convenient location in downtown Grays Lake, Illinois, and their friendly staff. Unique Gifts and Games. Great gamers mean great gaming.
It was certainly not delightful. It was certainly not delightful or delicious or lovely.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. You've heard of Last FM? Like Zune or Pandora, any of those things?
Yes.
You can do it on Xbox. I've decided I was going to...
Xbox.
You can just plug in the name of a band, and just it starts playing songs based on what it thinks you might appreciate based around that band. It starts usually with that band. So I'm like, just for the screw of it, I'm like, I'm just going to throw in Diggable Planets, and that turned into a really great channel. I did, like, Blackalicious, which did another really great channel. And then I did D-Light, which turned into a really bad channel. Bad channel. Because it played a song by D-Light, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then it played a song by RuPaul, and I said, sweet Jesus, and fast-forwarded. And then it played another song by another, which might have been another. It basically became something like what you would expect if you wanted to listen to a lot of RuPaul.
So it was a gay club radio.
It was gay radio. I'm like, okay, you know what? Cool, but not cool. So I had to stop.
Oh, my Lord.
So, you know, open-minded, not interested. Had to change it.
Open-minded.
You do what you want to do. You know, when the gay parade comes to town, whatever. I'll stand there and get, like, those condoms thrown at my head. Cool. And wave. And then, you know what? I'm still going to go home afterwards.
I just don't go.
I used to work around the corner.
You used to work in the alley.
No, the alley was actually down the street on Clark.
Ah.
I was, for those not in Chicago, you have no idea what we're
geography
talking about.
Geography joke.
No, alley's the name of a store that suburbanites shop at when they want to think they're from the city, basically.
Yep.
All right,
you want to look like every other punk rock goth person, come here and buy stuff.
You could be different like us. All right, are we back?
Yes, so...
So we've got some tournament scene updates.
Yeah, the Circle City Circuit's over, and I still don't have the Skype thing up. I got to get that computer back from Daniel. In fact, we're supposed to call him today. I'm going to have to get that computer back. Because we're going to have on our friend... Lizard Man Jeff from Circle City Circuit.
As soon as we get the computer that's going to allow us to get Skype up and running, then Daniel from the Circle City Circuit will be on, and we can talk a little bit about the campaign.
Yes, we can, because we got that computer. We'll be going, getting to Skype.
Excellent.
Then we'll be getting tons of great interviews with all sorts of famous people and stuff.
Yeah, actually, that would be great. It says here, though, that also, if you're a gamer in the Indiana region, check out Circle City Gamers, a site dedicated to all games and gaming groups in the greater Indianapolis area.
Is there any lesser Indianapolis area? I think not.
You know, if you're in Indianapolis, none of it is lesser. It's all greater.
It's all greater.
It's all greater, like demons. If you play it, you can find an opponent there, and it is, of course, the home of the Circle City Circuit. So check it out at CircleCityGamers.com.
The War Gaming
Or is it CircleCityGamers.com. Circle
War
City
Gaming
Circle.
Capital. home of the gaming elite. I'm doing this dual layer. Keep going.
Circle City Gamers Outrica.
Home of the gaming elite.
We need to have some sort of some sort of splat.
Spartacus?
No, not Spartacus.
I thought you said Spartacus.
Some sort of splat or some sort
of... You want sound effects.
Yeah, yeah.
Once we get the computer hooked up down here and this thing is hooked into it, we should be able to click on sound things and
play.
That
would be great. So, like a gong for instead of dot.
Daniel said he could set it up. Let's see. Invasion Kenosha's on July 23rd. We were there.
We were just
it
there.
Was awesome.
It was today.
It was awesome.
If you're hearing this, you missed it.
It was awesome until I didn't win. I made it to table one in our pod, though. I was very proud of myself.
Yes, you did. You did very well.
But I don't want to spoil the fact. So I gave it to nothing in anything. There we go. Was that a good cover?
Very, very good.
You think they caught on? Did I spoil it? Did I give a spoiler?
Anything can happen in the Invasion Kenosha just coming up that we haven't talked about yet. You have no idea what's coming. Yeah, they're going to be surprised.
Thank you.
I can assure you that none of them know what's happening.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the help. And then we got this. Grok last time mentioned that there's a tournament coming up in Baltimore, September 24th, Battle for the Blobs Park. www.innercirclegamingclub, and this is from Grok on the forums, and he is not an organizer. He is actually not connected with this at all, but he was at the last one and he said it was amazing.
It's going to be September 24th, and that is in Baltimore. Yes, so be sure to look into that.
Four round 2000 point 40k, four round 2800 point fantasy, a War Machine tourney, Late Wars Flames of War tourney. And there's a late-night poker and a 35-point Malifaux tournament.
Nice.
That's
pretty cool. We also have Jerry from Cobra Kai wants to introduce the Southern Assault GT.
Yes.
Sounds like it's going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is going to be the 1st and 2nd of October this year. And he mentions that there's $2,000 in prize support from Gale Force 9, Games Workshop, Iron Halo Resin Bases for starters.
Top prize is $300 and a gift certificate Warhammer shopping spree at the local store, at their local game store. Let's see. And they offered us we could get into the tournament for free if we had the cojones to go down there and play.
Who, you and I?
Yep. Now, Buckeye Battles. Now, okay. Oh, here's another thing where I said something stupid and didn't even know it. Because I usually do know it. I just say it anyway. But last episode, I said we had a shout-out from Jeff Parkhurst, and he paid, and I didn't have a shout-out, but he did, and he sent it, and we actually talked about it. He sent me information about Buckeye Battles, and we did read that, so I feel stupid. But we've been talking about Buckeye Battles the whole time. We finally got the updated results. So they had their 5th annual GT July 8th through 10th, the same weekend as Bits. And let's see, Friday was a 40K day. 30 players showed up, and three people won 40K. Saturday, the Warhammer Fantasy 5-round event that ended on Sunday. Over 80 players, including a group from Central Illinois. Do you want to read out some of these winners, Christopher?
Well, it sounds like best overall was Orcs and Goblins, and that was Jacob Fathbruckner. Then the Lizardmen player for Best General, that was Chad Birdsall. Beastmen won Best Sports, Paul Vinton. Paul Vinton, didn't he?
We played him today.
Yeah, he was at Invasion Kenosha. And Beastmen player also for Best Presentation, that was Sean Phillips. Are there any more here? Oh,
yep.
We do have a few more. Now, the Gamers General's Choice was Orcs and Goblins, and that was Mike Carter. Du Bois, New York was the best team score. Du Bois, New York also won Team Sports. The Warriors of Chaos was the rubber mallet, and that's Matthew Tillman. I wonder if that means best loser. I'm not sure what that is. Best rubber mallet.
Yeah, I wonder if that's like a wooden spoon.
It could be. Okay. So, and then Dogs of War for Miss... Oh, and Misfire. That's got to be the wooden spoon. So, Misfire with Dogs of War with Taras Topovich.
So, you can check out the full results at BuckeyeBattles.com. But congratulations to all the winners. And hey, all 80 players there playing.
That's a big tournament.
I think that's everything except for Invasion Kenosha.
I think so.
You don't have your little calendar here with you.
I don't with me now. This next Saturday, the 30th, is going to be Games Day Chicago. So if you don't have tickets, you're probably going to be scrambling to get your hands on one. But that's where it's going to be in Chicago.
Only available at the door now at this point.
Yeah. Now, after that, a week after that, we're looking at starting on Wednesday the, I want to say, 4th. That or Thursday the 4th? I'll have to look at a calendar. But
Thursday's the 4th. I'm almost positive.
Thursday the 4th, starting on the 4th through Sunday, is Gen Con in Indianapolis.
Yep.
After that, we have, I think the next one coming up that's Warhammer-centric would be Core Competency. That's in the Battle Bunker in Buffalo Grove, Illinois. That's going to be in late September. This is going to be the last one. The theme of this year is breast cancer, so wear pink. And if you have a, you're usually supposed to bring some sort of representative model on a 40-mil base. It's recommended to either paint it pink or tie a ribbon around the model.
Yeah, you need it. It's an infantry model, so it should fit with the infantry in your game, and it can be up to 40 millimeters, so...
And this is run by Alex Gonzalez, and in just in a relatively short time, Core Comp has kind of become a real staple of the Midwest, and Alex is going to make this the last Core Competency, originally created because he felt in 7th edition it lacked what 8th edition has ultimately provided. So he's decided that the theme is no longer necessary, this is going to be the last year for Core Comp, and he assures everyone that there will be something to replace Core Comp, probably around the same time starting next year, but this is the last official titled Core Comp, so don't miss it.
Yeah, and it's—I mean, it was always a good game because the rule was at least 40% core, which at the time when you could get away with armies having less than 10% core, that was a huge thing.
Yeah, there's a way to min-max it. So, like in 7th edition, your vampire counts—you could take like 2-3 units of dogs, and there you go, you're all set.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think dogs help, but you keep 3 units of zombies or 3
or maybe
units
it's
of
the
skeletons.
Beastman, 30, 60, 90, done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the Beastmen with the 3 units of Ungor archers.
Yeah,
for like 30 points.
Something
a
very
unit.
Cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not necessary as much because, as if you've listened to the Wogcast in the last episode, Joe had an interview with Alex Gonzalez, and he basically said that 8th edition has kind of become what he wanted it to be. So it's just not necessary
anymore. Oh, good point. Good point. So, yeah, if you want more details, an excellent source, I think it would be the latest episode of Wogcast. So if you don't listen to it, check it out. Check out our friends Joe Flesh and Chuck Jardine. Who,
hey.
Chuck, we got to see over at Invasion Kenosha today.
Absolutely.
But we'll get into that. I guess that's it for the tournament updates.
Yeah, that's everything we've got for right now. We did get that one...
the email. You want to talk about
from
the
Cobra Kai, yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll talk about the email. But the one from the guys from the Cobra Kai, they did ask us to look over the rules pack and talk about it a little on the show. We haven't even really looked at it at all yet. So we didn't want to go and go into depth on something we were completely unfamiliar with.
Well, I haven't had power until this week. Guys, I'm just going to have to say we'll have to wait for the next episode for that one.
Yeah. And like I said, that's that thing that you already told them. It's the one in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But we'll get you the full details in next episode.
Sounds good to me. Let's read this email real fast, the one that you received.
Oh, yeah. We got an email.
Tell you what. Okay, so you want to read it?
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is it says, "Hey guys, I just discovered a podcast or the podcast, and I love it. I wonder if you could offer me a little advice. I'm a 40K player, Orcs and Space Wolves, and I'm looking to get into Warhammer Fantasy. What I'm looking for is a non-horde army, since I play one in 40K that won't break the bank to field. Maybe a more elite army that does not rely on model count to compete. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Mark in Buffalo, New York. Hi, Mark." Thank you for the email.
Yeah.
Dave, what do you think? We discussed this a little bit off the air, and I think we agreed that a couple of good choices. We were discussing ogres, possibly not as a competitive list, but certainly non-horde.
Yeah, we ran through a couple, but, I mean, if you just want to go with a lower model count, which, you know, is going to be somewhat, you know, more economical. And I think dollar for dollar, the Ogre Battalion is probably the best deal out there now.
If money is an object and you simply want to get an army, Ogres are the biggest question mark because they're likely to get the next book. We don't know how competitive they are. The answer right now is they're not competitive. They don't do very well in tournaments historically. And even with the improvement to the 8th edition rules, they struggle. But we don't know because they're likely to get the next facelift. They could be excellent. We just don't know. So that is definitely an option if you don't care and you just want to get the models. That's a great choice. Otherwise, Dave, you and I were talking about High Elves, potentially.
Yeah, High Elves.
An entirely different sort of elite army. Fragile as hell, but very hard-hitting.
Yeah.
Dark Elves are another one, although you have a way to make them horde, but you can still take expensive units if you want to.
Right. Warriors of Chaos can do the same thing.
Warriors of Chaos is another very solid choice. They work well. They're easy to play. Push them across the table. You'd stop thinking. Just push them. And, and they're expensive if you want them to be expensive.
Yeah. So after that, I don't know. Demons start off at a base. Their core units are 12 points a model.
Demons are another one where they're relatively expensive for what you get. You're going to have more or less a fairly low model count. There is no such thing as a cheap Warhammer game. But
no.
If you already play 40K, you know what you're up against dollar-wise.
Right.
So demons, elves, ogres, warriors.
Ogres is probably your best bet. I'd be excited. If you're not worried about, winning a ton in the beginning, because ogres are a hard army to play right now, but they're also the one getting the next book, and if it's anywhere near as balanced as the last two, it should be a huge improvement for the ogres. So, that would be my suggestion. I would first go ogres. It depends on your play style, too, because you can go, like we were saying earlier, you can go fast on your feet, quick moving, very low defense, hard hitting.
If you want to find a nice balance of relatively low model count, relatively elite, reasonably easy to play, Warriors of Chaos might be a good choice.
Yeah,
demons are another good one.
You lose the entire shooting phase, but
and demons
it's still good.
Demons have a shooting phase.
Flamers, oh, that's true.
Flamers is inch.
Cheesy combo.
All right, so I'm sorry, where were we?
We were discussing Mark from Buffalo, New York, wanted to talk about which armies might be a good choice for him to choose from converting from 40K to Fantasy. Non-Horde Elite. We had discussed Ogres, Warriors of Chaos, multiple Elf choices,
Lizards
Demons.
Are not.
Lizards, they can be good, but there are ways to get a lot of numbers out there with Skinks.
Yeah.
You can go either way. You can potentially build a fairly tight core elite unit, though. The thing about them is their weapon skill is low and their initiative is very low.
Right.
They're elite, but you're not necessarily going to roll like elitist. You know, your weapon skill is low.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to break, and you've got a crazy magic phase.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's always the dwarves, who are pretty expensive model per model.
I'm surprised I didn't think of them first. That's actually a core definition of an elite unit.
Only reason I didn't say it is because so many of the model units are still metals. And it's five for, I mean, you're going to have a lot of metal on the table.
Lay down a gentleman's bet that as of right now, at this moment, I bet you there's someone deep in Games Workshop starting to sculpt plastics for the dwarves. I feel like they've got to be coming up.
They've got to be.
Yeah.
Because all that stuff went off the list of stuff you'd be able to order.
Yeah, it's a popular army. A lot of people take them these days because they kind of kick ass.
They can, yeah. And, I'm waiting for the 10 models for $40 to come out, but that's still cheaper than the 10 medals for $50.
Yeah. It's starting to seem like it would be easier to tell them the ones not to get. Don't get Empire. Maybe not Bretonnia unless all you want are knights. And no Skaven or no orcs and goblins. There. And no vampire counts, and I don't know about Tomb Kings. Not so much with Tomb Kings. There they go. They are the other armies.
So there's our long roundabout answer of which ones you should pick if you want to play elite.
Elves, ogres, warriors, demons.
Dwarves.
Yep, there you go. All right. So, shall we get into it? Shall we get into the IK3 Invasion Kenosha?
Yeah, why don't we start that up and see where it leads us?
Should we take a quick station identification and come right back with it?
Yep, we're going to have to.
All right.
We gotta please the sponsors.
That's right. We'll be right back.
If a game is only as good as the person who plays it, then the best games can be found at Unique Gifts and Games. Collectible and classic card games, board games, RPGs, tabletop miniatures, hobby tools, and more all found within. And so is an amazing community of fellow gamers, as well as dedicated gaming tables, terrain, and a library of open games to try. It's also your source for Unseen Lurker, the independent tabletop wargaming magazine. Stop by for Warhammer Fantasy Mondays, 40K Tuesdays, and War Machine Wednesdays. Demos and tournaments are alive and well at UGG. Check their website at uniqueg.com for their calendar of events or call 847-548-8270. Don't forget about the rewards program, their convenient location in downtown Grays Lake, Illinois, and their friendly staff. Unique Gifts and Games. Great gamers mean great gaming.
Harrison's joining us, everybody. Harrison, talk so I can get your levels.
Mr. Phoenix Prince.
Hello, people. Okay, I have absolutely no idea what to say at all.
Just keep talking.
What
so I can get your level.
What army did you play? Did you like it?
Sure.
Sure means sort of yes, sort of no?
Yes.
Yeah, Harrison, the show's best if you're talking and not just laughing at the microphone.
Yes, I did like it.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. We are back.
Now, Invasion Kenosha, this was our first time at Invasion Kenosha.
Yes, it was. This is the first, third one. This is a 1,600-point tournament. Special characters were allowed, although at 1,600 points, you're not going to be able to take much.
Although someone took Kalita.
Which was a fine choice, personally, I thought.
That army apparently just went undefeated and won its pod, I think. It just
I'm not surprised.
Through.
That's a pretty good combination of events. When you've got Kalita and a lot of archers, you're hitting on fours with poisoned attacks.
And they're Tomb Kings.
So as long as you take a level 4 and a level 2, you're going to get the spell that gives them multiple shots. So we're talking about, with his army, like 80 shots, 40 of them hit. And of the 40 hits, let's see, that's...
No, he had two units of 30.
So that's 120 shots. Well, he can only zoom up one of them. So...
What do you mean?
Is it radius or is it just targeted unit?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Well, that's his army. I didn't play the guy. But
there was a lot of shots. And then there was
shots.
Two units of three Sepulchral Stalkers and War Sphinx. Or was it a Necro Sphinx?
Necro.
Necro Sphinx!
Which is the rare one, right?
Yeah, it's the rare one with heroic killing blow.
Right.
That can fly.
It can fly.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a Necro Sphinx.
All right, guys. Well, so, Dave, you and I were in the same pod. Harrison, you were in a separate pod. And there was a third one that I think Grant was in.
There was four of us there from our gaming group. Mm-hmm. There were 24 players.
I was in pod three.
It was really interesting because he basically had three rows of tables, eight gamers per row, and... you basically moved from row of tables. Each table had that scenario set up for all those rounds. So each pod was playing a different one of the three scenarios. And then we would rotate through the tables, through the scenarios.
Mm-hmm. And they were not actually like scenarios from the rule book. It was scenarios that John made up.
Well, they were kind of from the rule book. I mean,
they were based on scenarios, but they were certainly tweaked.
Yeah.
Do you guys have your army lists handy? Should we go over our list real fast?
I have them.
I have it right here.
Harrison, why don't you go first, man?
I have a dwarf lord on shield bearers with a rune of cleaving, a rune of fire, and a rune of speed.
Okay.
And then I had a runesmith. Mm-hmm. With, of course, a spell-breaking rune.
Sure, of course. Just one spell-breaking rune throughout the whole... Okay, fair enough.
A unit of longbeards with full command.
Okay.
And great weapons.
Great weapons.
10 quarrelers with a musician and great weapons.
Yeah.
20 hammerers with full command. 10 miners with full command.
Mm, neat.
The
grudge thrower is the stone thrower?
Right.
Okay.
A cannon and a gyrocopter.
Ooh, neat. Neat list. And that's 1,600 points?
1,596.
Nice. Do you want me to go next?
Sure, yeah. What's your list?
My list. Okay, for Chaos Dwarfs, I have a level 4. This time I took Lore of Metal and the one dispel scroll. He's got the Talisman of Endurance, so he's got the 5-plus ward. I couldn't quite afford the 4-plus. A Slave Master, which is my BSB. The Demon Smith, which is carrying the Amulet of Hesed, that's the one that gives a unit frenzy. So he's going to go in with one of the other units. 21 Chaos Dwarf Warriors with Great Axes. They took what's called an Eruption Gun, which is just sort of like a super cheap shooting piece of crap.
Yep.
The Annihilators, 20 Annihilators, those are my Blunderbusses. Obsidian Guard, which is my Cause Fear Killing Blow guys.
Uh-huh.
And Earthshaker and a Spear Chucka.
Okay.
Spear Chuck, I thought you don't like orcs.
Hobgoblins I like just fine.
I took the vampires, the ones I painted.
Yeah.
So I had a lord with two hats.
That's crazy, you only have one head.
He was wearing the Crown of the Damned,
uh-huh.
Which is the 4-up ward save that it's also stupidity. but I could afford it because I didn't have enough for the 45-point Board of Regular Wars.
Was he modeled with two hats?
No.
Oh, you anti-fluffer.
And the Helm of Commandment, so, you know.
Is that the weapon skill hat?
You can always just change the fluff. He's wearing the socks of commandment.
There you go.
Yeah. Did you paint him with socks?
Yes.
Okay.
So he had the Master of the Black Arts for two extra power dice.
Oh, yeah.
And I took a Vampire BSB instead of a White King BSB.
Okay.
And he also, he had a Dispel Scroll, but he also had Master of the Black Arts. So he had two extra casting dice as well.
Did you find at this level those extra dice help?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Especially here. I only had a couple of units, so two dice is at least one more spell getting cast.
Yeah, okay.
Spells.
So then I had, what I had, two units of five dogs, or wolves, whatever, 33 skeletons with a flame banner and full command, two units of 25 ghouls, and a unit of four wraiths.
Cool.
Which I took because there was no way I was going to get the black coach built in time. But that was my list. So unit of those, like I said, those I had all core except for the four wraiths. I had no special. It was all core.
Should we talk about the scenarios really fast? There are three to choose from for
sure.
Each of us. All right. So the first one that I played was called the Circles of... No, that's not it. It is the Banishment Stone. The Banishment Stone, it was my first game, and it was 12 inches up, but you had to be 12 inches from the side of the board. So you had a limited deployment zone.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, and...
So you basically lost 1 foot on the left and on the right. You had the 4 feet in the middle only.
That's exactly. Okay. It was King of the Hill. Whoever was closest to this hill in the center was the winner. Those are additional objectives. That's about it, really. Other than that, if you can defeat the general, and if you can... Get a model unit within
opponent's deployment zone.
Yeah, that was a little hard for dwarves and for chaos dwarves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but that's the one I played first. Do you guys want to talk about one of the other ones?
I played Circles of Magic.
Okay.
Which is there is a river going straight down the middle of the board.
Yes.
Which when we went through it, it was supposed to be a mysterious river. It happened to be a river of light.
Oh, wow.
Which means a random light spell is cast on you.
That could be good, could be bad.
Exactly.
My opponent who walked into it first got hexed.
Now this was a strange board because the river went right up and down the middle, the 4 foot way.
You're practically playing on the long side of the table instead of the short side of the table.
Yes, we each got a corner 2 foot by 2 foot in to deploy.
Hey, I'm talking about this. And then in the opposite corner, and then in the corner you're facing, there is a 12 inches out, 24 inches out from the short edge, 12 inches out from the long edge, I guess, is a little circle on both sides. That's your objective.
There were two objectives, one right next to your deployment zone and one farther from right next to your opponent's deployment zone.
Mm-hmm.
If you controlled the one, you got 1 point if you controlled the one by you at the end of the game, two more points if you controlled theirs, or the one closest to them. So that was that. All of these were scored out of 7 or 8 points, and then you got bonus points for the scenarios. So it could have been up to 12 points per game.
Yes. Dave, what was the third one?
Third one was...
It's the one about insanity?
Guardians of Insanity.
Yeah.
It was basically straight-up deployment, except dead center on the board. There was a little objective marker with a red dot. And then on the center line, but about a foot in from either side, there was another objective. So there are three objectives running down the middle of the board. And it's straight up battle line game, except if you control the objectives at the end, you got 3 points for the one in the middle and a point each for the ones out on the far sides. So that actually was a...
Oh, it was Blood and Glory.
That was a Blood and Glory.
Yep. Interesting stuff, though. Those dots you were talking about in the center, the two blue ones on the flanks were considered sinister statues, which can hurt you.
Oh, yeah. If you were within 6 inches at the start of the turn, you got you took D6 strength 4 hits.
Yeah. So you want to capture them.
On a 1, 2, 3. A 1, 2, 3.
You wanted to be near him, but at the same time, you didn't necessarily want to be near him.
Right. And if you were near the thing in the center, that was the Sphinx.
Right.
The
you had to take an initiative test, and if you failed it, you take D6 strength 4 hits, and if you pass it, you either get devastating charge, something I can't remember.
It's like passing the Sphinx.
Bonuses,
the riddled Sphinx, yeah. The Sphinx.
You could get Lore Master of Death.
Yep. Oh, that would be nice. Well, let's go through round one, I guess. Who wants to go first?
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Okay, I played Kevin Fleming in round one.
What was Kevin playing?
He was playing Orcs and Goblins. All he right. named his list the Best Boys.
Nice.
He took a War Boss, a Big Boss BSB, a Savage Orc Shaman, a Biggins Mob, a Savage Orc Boys Mob, a Night Goblin unit, a Squig Herd of 15.
Should be mentioned. One thing that surprised me, that Invasion Kenosha was an open list tournament.
Yeah, that was weird. At the beginning, John's like, it's just an open list. Hand your opponent your list in the right off the bat. So there were no surprises.
Well, that was the only surprise for me.
It was kind of nice, though, because we knew what the other guy had, so we could just sit there and be like, okay. And if you forgot something
ahead.
Or you didn't, you were reminding your opponents of theirs, you know. It was a really friendly tournament because there were times I was reminding my opponent, times my opponent reminded me of stuff we had.
Well, you and I, when we first started playing, we played closed lists. And then later on, we started getting into open lists to experiment with it. And they both have their advantages, so.
Yeah.
Well, it's 28 boys, Biggins, 24 Savage Orcs, 27 Night Goblins with 2 Fanatics.
Mm-hmm. 2 Fanatics, interesting. Okay.
15 Squigs, 10 Goblins for the Squig Herd.
It's a big army.
Yeah, it really is. A Doom Diver, a Rock Lobber with a Bully, and 2 Mangler Squigs.
Oof, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff, too.
It's a lot of shelling, yeah. A couple of grenades. Okay, so which scenario were you playing on first?
We were playing the Magic Circles.
Magic Circles, meaning the Guardians of Insanity? So you got the three
dots? No, the Magic Circle, the one with the odd deployment zone. We had it in the corner.
Oh, the one you deployed in the two
the
corners.
Circles
you
of
had
Magic.
So you're playing the long way. Okay, and you got across the river.
Yeah, he's the opponent who hexed himself.
Okay, so he's trying to cross the river. He crossed the River of Light and he hexed himself.
So what happened in the game here?
Yeah, so give me the highlights, the quick highlights.
I died miserably.
What happened? Did he shell you?
He shelled me. He just had too much stuff. His war boss was just kind of cheesed out.
Well, we're all
this
cheesed
list
out.
Was as hard as nails, I guess.
You think so?
Against my army.
Well, you know, sometimes the thing about Orcs and Goblins is if you're not prepared for them, he's got several ways of just exploding into what otherwise could be elite units.
I guess that's what it happened.
Yeah, if you're an elite opponent and you don't take soft choices to get in the way of those manglers, those pump wagons, those fanatics.
That's how my Longbeard died. I had to take my Runesmith out of the unit and just move the Longbeards on top of the squigs so that way it would just die.
As ridiculous as that sounds, you should have maybe considered moving your Runesmith into the mangler.
Actually, I think my Runesmith was worth half of what that whole unit was worth, and he already killed almost the whole thing.
Well,
but my Runesmith still had 2 wounds on him.
Hmm.
Oh well.
Well,
so you really weren't ready for all the different things coming at you.
It's a good lesson. I see. I've had a lot. It seems like I've been playing Orcs and Goblins more than anything else recently. I'm starting to get used to them, but there are still surprises out there. At least I know what to do when I see all those.
The Fanatics never came at me.
Oh, it's just good fortune. I had 2 less things that you have to deal with.
But his war machines took your stuff apart, too, in the beginning, didn't they? Didn't
yeah, but the rock lover did blow itself up.
Well, eventually, okay. But yeah, okay, that's always going to happen.
That's tough, though. I mean, you should probably play our good friend Chris Yu a couple of times. He plays Orcs and Goblins. And
I'll only play him if he's playing High Elves.
Make sure to talk into the
mic.
I'll
only play him if he's playing High Elves. That way I'll actually learn something.
Well.
But the other thing is... Harrison didn't realize, and he didn't realize until the end of the second game, that he gets +2 to his dispel rolls.
This is one downside of skipping from one army to the next, is that you're never quite up to par in what they're capable of.
He's not even. I mean, he just never played dwarves.
I played them maybe once.
Yeah,
you
well,
two,
you know.
You had two practice games this week, and then...
Which no one mentioned it.
Well, I mean, ultimately, you know, remember that ultimately, not knowing the law, it still rests on your shoulders. You're the one who has access to the dwarf book. You should have read it.
Yeah, but Joe Cook, Sally Joe that I played against on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he plays dwarves.
No, he doesn't. He plays lizard men.
He used to play dwarves.
Has he?
Yeah,
yes,
I didn't know that. We were talking about
in 8th edition?
I don't know if he played them in 8th, but he said they were in his first army.
He had it in the
But if that was back in
book.
5th edition, they had different rules back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you played the 6th side book.
But you're, I don't know. But remember that plus 2 to dispel is probably an 8th edition thing.
Yeah, and the point is, it's your army. You got to know it. I mean, that's all there is to it.
You can't blame someone else. It's your army. It stinks.
True.
It stinks.
True.
It's frustrating. But yeah,
yeah,
ultimately, it's like, well, you know, if it's one thing that you had known, it wouldn't have happened in the first place.
Yeah.
So, was there anything that happened that you just knew when this was happening that you were done? Like, you knew where your game was going?
He killed my general.
Yeah, it's when your spirit
breaks a little
bit, huh?
One plus rerollable armor save general.
Is this a shield bearer or just a regular guy?
Shield bearer.
Oh, really? Wow. With what?
His huge mob of biggins with his war boss in it.
It's funny. Yeah, there's nothing that's so hard to kill that just a big enough mob of guys, if they're just touching, you can just start throwing dice at it, and eventually you get whittled down. Interesting. Well, all right. So that was your first match. Sounds like it was a frustrating lesson, but I still saw you smiling at the end of it.
Yep. Yes.
Oh, good man. Good man. You want me to go next, or you want
to
take it?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, well, my first game was against an Orc and Goblin player by the name of, let's see here, it's Ben Tadic, T-A-D-Y-C-H, Tadic,
okay.
Tadic, and nice guy, really nice guy. We were playing on the King of the Hill scenario. I don't remember what it was called, not Circles of Magic, Banishment Stone. So his army is, let's see here, he had a war boss, which is the Lord level. He also had a big boss. He had a great shaman, regular shaman, boys mob, night goblin mob, mangler squig, shooty things. What's that? Oh, rock lobber, another rock lobber, pump wagon. So anyway, Mike had, for 1,600 points, you know, there's always a little more orc, a little more goblin than you're hoping will be there. And so my first big problem was looking at that mangler squig and that pump wagon. He put his war boss, the big guy, the not level four, what's he called, the general, the lord level.
Okay, you're right.
He put him in with his trolls, so the trolls wouldn't be stupid. And basically, we both sort of pushed ourselves forward as fast as we can to try and deal with capturing the mountain. And his fortune wasn't so great. His little, what's it called, the pump wagon?
Right.
He immediately rolled
triples
and promptly knocked himself right off the board.
Ah.
And then he, let's see here, the stones weren't able to hit anything right away. I was able to retaliate with my Earthshaker on my turn and at least knock it down to one wound and keep it from firing next turn. We sort of pushed toward the center of the table, and basically the scrum in the center, it was just a big knuckle dust, just push into each other. At the end of the day, what I was able to do was finally lock into place with his trolls against my obsidian guard. That was a grind for one turn. The big problem there was dealing with this big boss, who was obviously the match of anything I had.
Right.
But I was steadfast for a turn. Then I was able to get into the flank with my annihilators, who are not normally prone to having a winning combat. Oh, no,
right.
No, you know what? I'm sorry, that's wrong. That's not my annihilators. It was my Chaos Dwarf Warriors. They had the Flaming Banner, which is, of course, a winning proposition against trolls. And at that point, flank charge, flaming attacks, I was able to make them run. And dwarves are actually, with their little stunty feet, able to catch them.
Yay!
Once that happened, it started to turn the game around a little bit. I had a little trouble
turn
with this BSB.
Turn your game around.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Nice.
I can show you how.
Yes, you can. Good job.
Do, 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 do. I'm sorry.
That was excellent.
You're embarrassing us all. Please get off the mic.
Here, hold on a second. That was me hitting you with the microphone.
Yep.
I can tell. I'm right here, and it hurts.
Okay. Good, good. Anyway, so long and the short of it was, by the time the game was over, I was actually able to kind of corner most of his units and do a pretty good job of cleaning up. Magic did a decent job, but eventually I zapped myself. What happened? Did I zap myself off the table? No, I'd lost my... He was able to isolate attacks on my wizard and eventually kill it. So it wasn't a crushing defeat. He did manage to take out my general. But at the end of the day, I was able to take the objective and win in victory points. I think it was called standard victory.
Right.
But then it took all the center of the hill. So a good solid win for me for turn one. But an excellent game, and Ben was a terrific opponent. A very friendly guy.
So you guys both had orcs and goblins your first.
We both played against orcs. And okay. Dave?
I played a gentleman named Paul Wagner, who they said take a fluffy list, and he said, I'm going to take something I just want to take. And had a 37-model Chaos Warrior all-cav list.
Oh, neat.
There was a Sorcerer Lord on a Chaos Steed, level 3, fire. Exalted Hero of Slaanesh, BSB. I don't think he put anything on him either. And then two units of 10 Marauder Horsemen of Nurgle. One had a champion. I think they both had Musician, Champion, Light Armor. Yeah, they both had full command. And then they had three units of Chaos Knights. Five guys in a unit. No champion in them. One was a unit of 5 Khorne Knights. One was a unit of 5 Tzeentch Knights with the Flaming Standard. And one was a unit of Slaanesh Knights with the Banner of Swiftness.
Well, he had a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah, he took three of that, and then the Marauder Horsemen were Nurgle. So he actually had 5 units of Cav, one for each god, except the Marauder Horsemen, which got both.
What scenario were you playing?
I was playing the Banishment Stone.
Okay, the same one as me.
Yeah, so I had the
King of the Hill, basically.
Yeah, that was my first game. And it was, like you said, there's you lose that 1 foot on either edge of your deployment zone.
Right.
But that worked out nice for me because he had all of his units of cavalry right there, pretty much in front of my stuff. The dogs went off to the side. This was actually, the dice went really nicely in my favor and didn't work for him at all. I got to move forward first. I summoned up a couple units of zombies and put them really close in front of other units that I didn't want charging me.
Mm-hmm.
Put them at a nice angle. Used them like Chris, who uses his eagles, used it as a redirector. And one of the great things that happened, he came in right on turn one. He charged that unit of zombies. He got it in the flank with his Khorne Knights and in the front with his Tzeentch Knights. And they just decimated these 7 zombies that were there. And they both overran into odd positions. One ran right into my skeleton unit. And basically, with those redirections where I wanted them, I had them just right in line to flank charge them.
Mm-hmm.
So I got some really decent magic rolls, and I just Van Helsed them into them, and then Van Helsed them up to the ASF with rerolling wounds. Every time he had to make a break, almost every break test he took, he failed. And he ran.
Ooh.
And every time he and then he would run, and I caught him. Only time I didn't catch one.
Even with cavalry?
Mm-hmm. He would roll 3 dice. I would roll 2. I rolled 2 really good dice. He rolled 3 crummy dice. I mean, it was just, it was that.
Sounds like he kind of defeated himself.
Oh, it was terrible. I felt so bad. I was like, oh. You know, the only thing he did was he vanguarded his cavalry on the left and on the right, his Marauder Horsemen. And that was, you know, they were the ones that didn't have ensorcelled weapons, so that kind of drew my wraiths.
Yeah.
And I moved my wraith up towards them, and he was just like, yep, now that you've moved out to this edge here, I don't have nothing to do with you. And turned around and just marched 18 inches back towards the center of the board, back towards his line.
That's smart.
Just basically abandoning my wraiths out to the outside of the board. The game was done in like 4 turns. I literally just, the one unit of zombies, I managed to get in the flank of one of his units
mm-hmm.
of knights. And so only the one knight was able to attack. and it was able to kill most of the zombies, but not all. Even with only five zombies in the unit, I was able to hold them there for that extra turn. So I was just able to deal with everything piecemeal. And then the one unit that broke and ran that I didn't catch failed his rally attempt and then was 10 inches off the edge of the board and rolled an 11. So, off.
Wow.
Yeah, the game was over in just over an hour. And it was basically just me moving around and Van Helsing stuff into him. And every time he broke and ran, with that one exception, we would roll the exact same thing. So he would roll three dice, I would roll two, but we'd wind up with the exact same, you know, the exact same ending. So it was just fast and pretty vicious. And that was my first game. I took every model off the table and got all the objectives.
Nice. All right. Well, congratulations.
It was a nice, solid first start. And it was fun to play vampires the way I've been wanting to play them.
It's nice when you have an idea and the plan actually comes together and they work the way you were hoping.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Should we talk about round two?
You want to go to round two? You know what? I know we've probably taken one quickly, but let's just take a quick break.
Quick station identification?
Yeah, and then, right, it will be back in just a second.
If a game is only as good as the person who plays it, then the best games can be found at Unique Gifts and Games. Collectible and classic card games, board games, RPGs, tabletop miniatures, hobby tools, and more all found within. And so is an amazing community of fellow gamers, as well as dedicated gaming tables, terrain, and a library of open games to try. It's also your source for Unseen Lurker, the independent tabletop wargaming magazine. Stop by for Warhammer Fantasy Mondays, 40K Tuesdays, and War Machine Wednesdays. Demos and tournaments are alive and well at UGG. Check their website at uniqueg.com for their calendar of events or call 847-548-8270. Don't forget about the rewards program, their convenient location in downtown Grays Lake, Illinois, and their friendly staff. Unique Gifts and Games. Great gamers mean great gaming.
This is going to take Cracker Jack timing, Wayne. Wang. Wayne?
Wayne?
I don't know.
I'm your black blood of the earth.
God, I've just been sitting going through Blu-rays. Oh, and it was interesting, and I know this wouldn't mean anything to you, but I was watching Batman Begins with Harrison.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anything to me.
Because he had seen The Dark Knight, but he hadn't seen Batman Begins, and not that he remembered it. And
actually, they're going to come out with a new one called Batman Commences.
No, that's The Dark Knight Rises next year. Oh, I can't wait.
Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah. Because remember The Dark Knight at the end, he had to run, and everyone thought he was, you know, he took all the heat for all the murders.
Yeah, it's the whole, like... Commissioner Gordon and saying, I know you didn't do it, but we're going to pretend you did just to make things interesting. Let's make things interesting.
It wasn't just to make things interesting.
That's what he said literally on the movie.
You're a liar head.
Hi, I'm Commissioner Gordon. We're going to make things interesting.
And but Batman in the first Batman movie, there's this little kid who Batman sees and the parents are arguing. He shows up once or twice in the movie. This little blonde kid. He's the kid who becomes the king in Game of Thrones. I was just like, hey, I recognize that kid from Game of Thrones.
I never watched it.
That show was awesome.
I hear it was really bad. No one liked it.
No one liked it.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And I also heard there was no nudity.
Well, you would have heard wrong. Whoever told you that didn't watch the show.
No nudity and bad.
There was full frontal nudity, both male and female, in almost every episode of that damn show.
Well, that sounds sort of half good and sort of half bad. Yay, another sausage fest.
Yeah, we are back. Okay.
We are
back.
So,
round one, you and I have a win. Grant has a win.
Uh-huh.
I died utterly, of course.
Yeah. So, that got finished, and then we moved on to round two.
All right. Should I start here for round two?
Sure, why don't you?
Okay. So, for round two, I was doing the Guardians of Insanity, which is
Three objectives
and the banner one.
Right. Blood and Glory.
Blood and Glory. Thank you. I was playing against Ken Miller, who is a Warriors of Chaos player. His army is 18 Chaos Warriors, 24 more Chaos Warriors. The first one is Khorne, Banner of Flaming Attacks. Second one's Khorne. Oh, no, it's Nurgle, Banner of Rage, so it might as well be Khorne, except it's Nurgle, Khorne. Exalted Hero. Which
Nurgle had two hand weapons, and Khorne had hand weapon shield, of all things.
Halberd.
Halberd and shield, sorry. Yeah. Or no, yeah.
Halberd shield. Exalted Hero, Zinj, Battle Standard Bearer, Chariot, level 4, Lore of Heavens, and Infernal Puppet.
Hate that puppet.
Same as it ever was. Pretty much you know the list. And he did a good job, but I beat myself. I pretty much beat myself this game. Mm-hmm. My level 4 first magic phase rolled relatively high. Rolled 3 dice to cast, I think, the one gives plus 1 to hit. I was going to start shooting at him, and immediately rolled boxcars and brought myself down to level 1. So all my metal spells evaporated. And then I'm like, okay, well, that's really bad, because there goes one of my major tools for dealing with his armor. And then my Earthshaker misfired, charged right forward. Turn 2, Earthshaker, misfire, moved forward. Turn 3, Earthshaker, misfire. At this point, I'm more or less like up his nose, so he just charges me because he can, and I had no control over it. And that pretty much chain balls him into leading into the rest of my army. And it was just, what do you do? What do you do? I actually managed, despite all this, I don't think I killed a thing. I was able to bring down his Khorne unit to, I think, 3 guys and his wizard.
Okay.
So if I had been able to get to that thing, if I had any of the tools, I probably would have been able to score those points, and that would have been huge. But nah, it's just, and then defeats one of my characters in close combat, immediately rolls boxcars, and now he's got stubborn frenzy something else.
Yeah.
It's just one of those games where you look at it and you go, look, you did a good job. The gods wanted you to win. Good job.
Yeah.
So definitely chaos was with him this day, but he did a fine job. I'm not downplaying his ability to play. He did an excellent job with the tools at hand, with the list that works. He made it work well.
Yep.
Good job, Ken. And, that's a winning list, and he played it like you're supposed to play it. And I rolled myself to death.
Eesh.
Oh.
So my tactics were sound, but the gods were angry.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Yeah, definitely not my favorite game. What are you going to do? That's, frankly, there's a word for it. It sucked.
Yep. But I mean, yeah, when all the dice were against you on top of everything else, you're just like, oh, come on.
I would play that list again against his list. I would be happy to try it again. But the scenario was fun, but it was an absolute tabling at that point.
Yeah.
So, frustrating stuff. But, Chaos Dwarf Warriors can't hold a candle to Chaos Warriors. We're almost as expensive, and they've got, like, they've got the tools. They start with Chaos Armor. They've got 2 attacks, Initiative 5, Weapon Skill 4, more movement.
Yeah, they're a really good core unit. So, I mean,
they're
what are you going to do?
They're excellent. But that's long and the short of it. I got my ass kicked. And who wants to go next?
I'll go next. Okay, I was playing against Greg Dossi, who's playing Dark Elves. His list came to exactly 1,600 points. That didn't help me much.
Okay. I'm sorry, what was he playing? Dark Elves?
Yeah.
Okay.
So run down his list real quick.
Oh, this is the double Hydra.
Yeah.
Yep.
He had a level 3 sorceress with a reverse ward save, the Black Dragon Egg, and on a Dark Pegasus.
Black Dragon Egg, you eat it, and it does like 2 things. Basically, it raises your toughness, and it also gives you a breath weapon.
Oh, jeez.
It's kind of neat.
Thank you. He had a hero, BSB, with a halberd and the Armor of Darkness.
I don't remember the Armor of Darkness. What's that one do?
I don't know.
Yeah, you just got to
look. Well, it's probably, it's not the 1+. It's something good. I don't know what it does.
He had 20 repeated crossbowmen with a musician and a standard.
Yep.
30 warriors with full command, the Banner of Eternal Flame, spears and shield.
Yep.
And 5 harpies.
Yep. And 2 hydras.
And 2 hydras. And 2 units of 8 shades with extra hand weapons.
How many?
2 units of 8 shades.
2 units of 8 shades.
Yeah, I like Ray. This army was cheese.
Do you think so?
Yes, I think so.
Maybe.
2 hydras, 2 units of shades.
It's 1,600 points. It's a pretty hard list, actually. I agree, Harrison. That's a hard list. In 1,600 points where the theme is to play for fun first and play to win second, that's a pretty hard list.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I agree. All right, so how'd you do?
Okay, instead of getting last game,
you didn't take Celebron.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The last game, I had my War Machines left. Well, this game, I had nothing left.
Oh, any high points?
His Sorceress did miscast twice. It just sucked dice out of the power pool.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, Dark Elves tend to like to blow themselves up and hopefully take out. The Dark Elves are sort of the sorceress version of the Orc and Goblin grenades. What about the Hydras? Were you able to not deal with them? Yeah, I know for a fact you dealt with one.
I have my flaming cannon. Mm-hmm. I shot it. Mm-hmm. I shot the Hydra. I hit it. Mm-hmm. I did 5 wounds. It didn't have its regen. It was strength 10, so it didn't have scaly skin. Dead.
Sounds like killing it. One go. Uh-huh. Good job. When'd you do that? Turn one?
Yes.
All right, so you put the fear in him at least. It's like, ooh, if you can do that on turn one, what can he do on turn two?
Exactly.
But what happened?
Can I do
what
on
happened?
Turn two? Yeah. I can kill myself.
What happened to the cannon?
The cannon. It
the
was
shades.
Charged by
the shades.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I killed one of the units of shades. That was good for me, at least.
Yeah, they get a ballistics, I think, of 5.
Yeah.
They're just going to shower
up. Yeah, they're just...
Eventually,
yeah.
You're going to get a couple of sixes.
No, they didn't shoot the cannon. They charged the cannon.
Great weapons?
No, extra hand weapons.
Still, actually, that wouldn't make a difference.
It's the extra attacks you're going to get through.
Yeah. Wow,
then the Harpies
go first.
Charged the grudge thrower. The shades shot the quarrelers. My Longbeards were murdered by a Hydra and the unit of Spearmen, but I did make the unit of Crossbowmen flee with my Longbeards.
Uh-huh.
They fled to 1 inch in front of my Miners.
Whoops.
And I charged the Miners. I charged them with, I charged the, what's it called? The Crossbowmen with my Miners. I killed the Crossbowmen. They charged with my, he charged with his Hydra and his Warriors into my Miners. I failed my brake test. I ran, I was like, 10 inches off the board. I rolled boxcars for my flea test, mm-hmm. and dwarves get -1, so I was 10 inches off the board. I rolled an 11. But that was insane dwarf running.
It was insane dwarf running. There's a special rule, I think, for that. Called insane dwarf running.
Insane dwarf running.
Dwarf running. So crazy. It's insane.
Got no brain.
That was Cypress Hill doing Warhammer. Got my hand on my miscast. That was just like, that was Cypress Hill just now. That wasn't actually me.
Just walked
Cypress Hill just grabbed my microphone.
That's great.
Oh. Well, the science is done.
Deal, the science is done. Very good. All right, so that was your game two, Mr. Whitech. Mr. David Whitech.
It was
Whitech.
The banishment stone, in case anyone was wondering.
I think a few people were wondering.
Okay, so I went from the stone to the Guardians of Insanity,
uh-huh.
which was the Blood and Glory, and I played a gentleman by the name of Paul Vinton, who had Beastmen. He had a Beast Lord as his general, and he had stuff like, I never played Beastmen, so he had stuff I never
like really gores.
Watched. He had the Ram Horn Helm,
mm-hmm.
6-up armor save, makes a bonus attack at basic strength for every armor save you pass. And he has the 5-up scaly skin save.
Is that a gift of gas?
Yeah, gnarled hide.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a 1+ save, and every time he had a successful save, he's got an automatic attack back on you. So I was like, ugh, what the hell? Then he had a level 2 shaman with miasma and mind razor. And they had a channeling staff, so he get a +1 to his channel roll. And then he had another shaman with Weasen's Wild Form and Flock of Doom with a scroll. 2 gore herds, 29 and 25. The 25-man gore herd he kept in reserve. Then he had 2 chariots, a 25 gore, our best gore unit, and then a razor gore and 5 harpies. So he had like a lot of things on the board, and I mean, I've seen what a really kind of hard Beastman list can do. So I was just like, oh, I don't want to face this. He is going to tear up all of my skeletons and stuff. But I got a couple of lucky spells off in the beginning.
Okay. What were they?
Well, I mean, in the very beginning, I was playing Bloxies with my zombies again.
Right. So
right
you're trying
in front
to, you're
of
just,
his
you're just playing the lesson from Chris Yu, pretend your zombies are eagles and put them right in front at an odd angle and
right.
force them to redirect.
Right.
Okay.
So I did one against his Bestigors, and the other one was off to the side. I will say my five dogs tied up his Bestigor for three combat rounds, which is saying something because his Bestigor, the toughness is ridiculously high compared to dogs, and that thing gets like four or five attacks on its own. It should have killed these things with no armor save like the first round, but they held him up. Meanwhile, I threw the Curse of Years from the Vampire deck at one of his units. That was his Bestigor unit with 25 models plus his general and his BSB, so it was 27. And of those 27, I rolled, I think, 7 sixes. So we took 7 of his models right off the top, which was a 25%, and he held. But he basically, you know, he only needed an 8 to dispel it, and he had a level 4.
Mm-hmm.
So he waited till he had one die left at the end of the magic phase, tossed it to get rid of it, and failed it.
That's a mistake.
So instead of going with the 2 dice guarantee, he went to try to push spells and then dump the 1.
Maybe he wasn't paying attention and forgot it was there.
Well, he knew it was there because he said he was holding that extra die, because he even said to me, go ahead and use your dispel dice on this. Because I go, you got 1 die left. He goes, yeah, I'm using it to get rid of that. I was like, oh, okay. But he didn't get rid of it, so then he lost another 6 guys hitting on 5 or better.
Yeah, rolling 1 die means it's a half chance.
So
it's pretty risky.
So of the 25 Bestigor herd with the 2 characters, he lost like 12 right off on that first couple turns.
Oh, my goodness.
And then when it finally got into combat, it was my magic phase again, so he still didn't dispel the... So I was wounding on 4s, and then he finally dispelled it the next round after that.
By the time that's done, you've just lost so many guys.
He lost over 2/3 of the Bestigor unit. So basically what happened after that was I was able to get into double combats when I needed to and broke his unit. It was Blood and Glory, so what we didn't realize was in that last combat round, I had 2 guys on him. I had Van Helsing, so they got to hit first and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I break his unit. Now, with Blood and Glory, he had BSB, 2 standards, and the general. So he had 5 points, and once you get down to 2, you're out.
Okay.
And the unit with his... I killed the BSB. I killed the... Or the BSB wasn't... I killed the standard bearer. So he was down. So once he lost the general, that was it. And the general broke and ran. And I said, oh, I could either leave the general to run and try to kill him later because he's all by himself now. That way I could have claimed the objectives. But I just overran and ran him down instead. And I kind of screwed myself because then I lost out on the extra objective points. I could have gotten 3 or 4 more points. But just ran through and that thing shattered, and that was pretty much the end of it. So that was my game. I mean, it's just everything went my way they possibly could have.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So you're 2-0. You're sitting pretty.
2-0. Was feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah. All right. So we're up to...
Did Harrison talk about a second game?
Yeah, okay. The Dark Elves.
Oh, right.
So we're up to round 3. Harrison, you want to take it for round 3?
Sure, as soon as I can find my guys list.
All right. Who did you play against? What army?
I played against High Elves. I played against probably the greatest opponent of all time.
What's his name?
I can't remember his name.
You got to write these things down.
I told you to write his name down.
I did. I misplaced it.
Guys, we apologize then. We don't have the name of the High Elf player. If you're out there... thank you for a good game against Harrison. Let's talk about the list.
We told him to come on his forums and on the Facebook page.
So tell me about the list.
He had Altherian,
The special character?
Yes. Yeah.
Which one is Altherion?
He's the one who rides the griffin, only he wasn't on the griffin.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to pay 1,600 extra points? You can take him, huh?
Yep, there was a
He's
couple
only 285 points.
Is he kind of a lord level character?
Yep.
Neat. Okay. Well, okay. Yeah, so...
It costs extra to put him on the griffin.
So that means he's only got, like, level 2s?
Yes.
Okay. What else?
He has 10 Lothran Sea Guard with a shield and a full command.
Oh, that's interesting.
With
yeah,
the Banner
yeah.
of Valyrian.
In a 1,600 point game, I guess you got to consolidate, don't you?
Yep.
Not a bad choice. Okay. Okay, so he's got Sea Guard, he's got Illyrian, he's got, Altherion.
10 Lothran Sea Guard, 16 Spearmen, a Lion Chariot.
Hmm, neat.
25 Phoenix Guard, full command with the Banner of Sorcery and the Helm
Phoenix
of Fortune.
Phoenix Guard, resilience. Okay, cool.
10 Sword Masters, full command.
Nice, sounds like a good list.
I mauled the Sword Masters.
Okay, well,
even after he turned my hammers into toughness 1 with the Withering.
Okay, so we're talking about, like, your war machines versus his spellcasting? Is that it?
No, it's more of, like, my hammers against his spellcasting.
So he charged
but
you?
But his spellcaster is only Altherion, so he's only a level 2.
Mm-hmm. What?
His spellcaster...
Altherion's he's a level 2.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's a fighting wizard.
Yep.
Oh, those cheating elves. Okay. Well, that's cool. That's very
cool.
Hey,
you're an elf.
I'm a dark elf. Thank you, sir.
So, I couldn't shut out his magic base because it's Altherion and he's in the unit of the Phoenix Guards. Phoenix Guard.
Why can't you shut him down? He's only level 2.
Yeah, but he's Altherion, so he's like 2 plus armor save in the unit of the Phoenix Guard and stuff.
You can't kill him. You can't cut him down.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Phoenix Guard, you got the spellcasting fighter. They just come charging up, and they actually do the business against you, huh?
Yep.
What about your cannons? What about your...
I did. I cannoned him. I killed his bolt thrower, mm-hmm. most of his Sea Guard, mm-hmm. and like 4 or 5 Phoenix Guard with my war machines until they got into close combat.
Okay. All right. What lore did he take against you?
Altherion has to take high magic, so...
Oh, interesting. So what, like, arrow attraction?
No, he took Shadow. I don't think he does.
Yeah, no, he took Shadow. He doesn't have to take high magic. He had Shadow.
Was he going for Mind Razor? Was that his help?
He had Mind Razor and the Withering.
That's, like, perfect. Those are the perfect spells.
He only had a level 2, though, so he said it was really hard for him to get off Mind Razor.
Yeah, you pretty much got to pick up the dice and chuck them, so...
Yeah.
Like, all of them. Still.
Or at least 6 of them.
So, okay, so how did the game turn out? It sounds close.
I won by, like, 73 points.
Ooh, man. That is that's a tie, isn't it?
No, but I had the objectives.
Okay, so it was like, what is
the tie? Oh, this was Fortitude. So neither of us went to breaking point. Mm-hmm. And so if neither of us came to breaking point, it said that we had to do it, victory points.
Okay.
So, and the person with more victory points got 3 battle points, and the loser got 2. But I had the Sphinx.
Okay.
So that means I got an extra 3.
3, yeah.
So that means I got 6 battle points. He got 2.
So it sounds almost like a tie game, but you took kudos for the win because of, squeaking by with more victory points.
Yeah.
Good game.
He was an awesome guy.
He was your favorite opponent?
Yeah.
Nice guy?
Yeah.
Did he teach you anything about your high elves? Did you learn anything from watching him play?
No, actually, because
didn't learn
he
anything.
Played... Yeah. This is a new army for him.
Ah, okay.
So he was still learning it.
I was talking with him, too. He plays Orcs and Goblins.
Oh,
mostly.
My God, what a change.
And his friends were like, you've got some. So he said he didn't paint his army as quickly as I did.
He's like the anti Chris Yu.
But like a month ago or so, he bought the high elves and built them and painted them.
what's that? Because Chris Yu plays mm-hmm. High Elves and then switched over to Orcs for something completely different.
Right.
This guy started with Orcs and
then switched to High Elves. You know the army that you were pointing out to me with the nice flame painting on the pattern?
Was this them?
That was them.
Oh, so incredible. Paint jobs are amazing on this. Oh, I wish we had that guy's name.
I know. I thought Harrison had it written down. Specifically said, and I did invite him over to the forums uh-huh. and to the Facebook page because he said he it's hard for him. He lives in Wicker Park. He said it's hard for him to get games in the city. So
yeah,
I said,
no kidding. I used to live out that way. There used to be a place called Third Eye Games out that way, and they closed right. a long time ago.
Well, I invited him to come out and game with us. So
cool.
We may see him.
It's a long drive. Actually, doesn't our friend Aaron Schmidt lives
yep.
out that way?
Yep.
All right.
But you know, like you said, he said, but that paint job, dude.
Is something else.
He did it like a month.
It's pretty exciting. When you see something like that, it's just a couple of... I'll tell you what, for what I thought was going to be a reasonably low-key, smallish tournament, you show up and you start seeing paint jobs that kind of blow you away. I mean, one
yeah.
guy's like, oh, I did this last night. It's like they're practically dancing off their bases. They're so good. There's a Tomb King one there, the Dark Elf one that I think you played. That guy's army was gorgeous.
But his army was cheese.
His army
you know,
was filth.
Get past that. The army was gorgeous. Give
oh,
the man
yes,
credit for what he
oh,
earned.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah, a lot of people brought...
He was a really fun player
yeah,
to
I
play
mean,
against.
You know,
I
Frank,
didn't
we're
like
all
his
trying
army.
To win. You know, yes, he built a hard army and a reasonably soft comp list, but that comp went against him. So, I mean, you can say that it was hard, but at the same time, this was there was a soft comp scores that could really hit you hard. At the
yeah.
end of the day, it was up to us to decide that army was very difficult, and you gave him a 1 instead of a 3.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
But.
And it was a great. It was a curved scale. You know, even if three people chose soft lists, ultimately one person got a 1, one person got a 2, and one person got a 3.
Yeah.
So.
And.
Man, was that grading part hard.
That was probably the most difficult part. Let's get through the games. We can talk about that.
Sure.
Do you want me to go next? Do you want to go next?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. My third game was going to be against... actually, it was against the Beastman player you played before.
Yeah.
That was the Beasties by Paul Vinton. So, yeah, it's the same army. So, Bray Shaman, Beast Lord. Two Bray Shamans, actually. One of Shadow, one of Beast. I think they're both level 2. Yep. Two Gore Herds, a Tuskgore Chariot. Make that 2 Tuskgore Chariots. Bestigors, Harpies... And a Razor Gore Herd. And that's it. Now, this one was the river. It turns out that my river, it wasn't a river of light. It wasn't a gentle whatever yours was. Mine was a boiling bloodbath, which meant that anyone crossing over it at the end of the turn, you take any model touching it, is taking strength 4 hits. And it's reasonably wide, and I'm dwarves. So... that
you can't
river,
march across the river. You could
no,
only know.
No, and... I mean, it was really wide, so I mean, it's like
sucks
it
sucks to be dwarves.
Sucks to be dwarves because if I try to cross it, almost everyone in the unit is hitting, taking strength 4 hit. No armor saves.
Very few units could get across that in one move, though. Very few units.
Because
even if you had a good 4 or 5 inch movement, if you had a unit of 15 or 20, that back end of the unit was not getting across.
I had 2 involuntary crossings of the river.
Involuntary.
Yeah, let's talk about it, shall we? So it turns out that the forest I entered was the Forest of Stupidity. Okay, I'm in the Forest
of...
Oh, no!
So
I need a re-rollable 9. Ch-ch-ch-10. Ch-ch-ch-10. Oh, I'm stupid. Ch-ch-ch-6. Now I'm in the water. Ch-ch-ch-boom. 10 guys dead.
Oh.
Don't panic off the board. Okay, that's the positive part of that story. Then, let's see, what else did I do? Okay, boxcars, great, so, except we're like more than 24 inches deployed away from each other because we're on the long end.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a boxcars where nothing could reach. It was a wasted magic phase.
Oh.
I know, I was mad. I'm like, oh, shoot. So, meanwhile, beastmen are going, gathering toward me, and that's when he sticks one of his guys... you know, hooves in the water and goes, oh, that's hot. Forget it. So his harpies fly over, and he waits until, like, he lines up right over it. And his guys move 5, so he's able to just barely get across. Meanwhile, my dwarves are going, nah, we're not going to touch that.
Points denial.
Yeah, so, like, there's one objective that I'm never going to get because I would have to kill myself to get there.
Right.
The bright side for me was, well, okay, first there was a dark side, so he has ambush, and big unit of gore suddenly in my side of the table. So getting across the river was
SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, no issue for him. So my entire army had to go, oh, shoot, and turned around. My Earthshaker was able to move away and lob a grenade on top of its head and slow it down and take some damage to it. Turn after that, I was able to Earthshake his Best of Gores, which immediately... No, that wasn't the Earthshake. Oh, that was Final Transmutation.
Zap. Oh, okay.
But I did miscast from that plot point. Now I'm down to level one. Zoop.
Again.
Oh, you didn't Dimensional Cascade? Man, this is a boring
podcast.
I
went down, I went down to level one, but the Vestigors panicked from that. So they started running. Earthshake onto his the Gores that were ambushing, and I did some damage there. What this boiled down to is he had a unit with his general.
Boiled, ha ha ha.
Yeah, ha ha ha. I was able to do more or less with the same thing I did with the orcs, which was lock him into combat, charge into the flanks. This time it was with my annihilators, which are not meant to be in combat, but with the flank charge, it was able to do additional ranks. I was able to stay steadfast, start doing the wounds. I was able to grind them down, and that was with the general. And eventually, forced the panic. He rolled low. I had two units that was able to chase, and one of them, of course, went right back into the water.
Ugh.
Yep. Then he was able to more or less charge right in with his chariot, which just wiped out the, I think, four guys that were left in my unit.
Oh, man.
And that started to bring the points back to where they were supposed to be. At the end of the match, I was actually able to start chasing off his units. If there's one thing Chaos Dwarves can do, is if they can hold a position, a combination of the blunderbusses and really high-hitting and hard-hitting strength, and Lore of Metal, I have to say, again, for the second time, when I was able to use the spells correctly, that bonus to hit is huge.
Yeah.
It's really huge. And it's also magical attacks and armor piercing. So with weapon skill 4 plus 1 to hit, I'm often hitting at least on 3s, sometimes on 2s.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's really, really good. When you combine that with a frenzying killing blow unit, it works out.
You had a frenzying killing blow unit?
Obsidian
okay,
Guard
that's kind of odd.
Obsidian Guard are killing blow, and they have strength 4 naturally. With great weapons, it's strength 6. Their weapon skill is 5, so they often hit on 3s. So each of the guy has 2 attacks. Then you give them the enchanted blades. So now they're magical, armor-piercing strength 6 attacks. With frenzy, because I took the Amulet of Hashut. So it's a lot of attacks that tends to start to work really well. That was a good unit for what I had. And long and the short of it was, the points were down to the wire. I was able to beat him, I think, very marginally. But he was able to score the objectives, both of them.
Oh, boy.
So what ended up happening was, in regards to primary objective, I got kudos for a win. But when you added up the additional objective points, he scored more than me by 1 point. So the victory conditions,
uh-oh,
I scored.
SpaghettiOs.
The additional stuff, he got it. So in a way, we both won, which, frankly, to me, is kind of awesome. That was a really satisfying game.
Yeah.
Because we both walked away thinking that we got something out of it.
Yeah, because it was close. Because when I played him, the one thing I totally forgot was he failed almost every Primal Fury roll. Even with rerolls.
Oh, no, he didn't fail a single one.
No, he was failing them, so he was not getting any of the rerolls. So then the fact that I was Van Helsing getting ASF and rerolling, my first two games, my opponents did have some bum luck with their dice, I will say that much.
Well, his dice were more or less fine. I was able to kill one. That final transmutation that I said that cost me 3 levels. It
right.
cost him his wizard.
Oh, really?
So it was worth it. It scored me some decent points, and it also meant that his Bestigor were out of the game. I mean, I didn't score them, but they ran for like a turn, 2 turns before they rallied.
Okay.
So it basically bought me from having to deal with them for the rest of the game, and it scored me the wizard. So it was a really tight match. It really could have gone either way. And when the bell was finally rung and the game was over, we actually were able to finish all 6 turns.
Oh, really?
And it was only 2 hours per match, so you had to keep going, just boom, 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 boom. But at the end of it, a satisfying win for both of us, I guess you could say. Sort of not even a tie, but a win for both of us. I liked it. A really fun game. And Beastmen they seem like they're fun to play, and they're scary to play against because they're faster than they appear. They usually hit a lot more than you want, and depending on how they're armed, they could hit very hard.
Yeah.
So you're giving us a warning?
Oh, I don't know if I'll be... Your dad's probably more likely to play Beastmen than I am, but their magic phase is intense. It can be really intense.
Yeah, especially if you're playing, like, Warriors of Chaos and all Cav Army, where your horses are just going to attack you.
I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
It's a spell from Lore of the Wild. The Traitorkin.
Nobody's taking Lore of the Wilds, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
They're taking Beast Lore.
I tell you what, if Beastmen are taking Lore of the Wild, I'm going to say thank you for the concession.
Yeah, no, nobody's taking... Oh. Everyone's taking Lore of Beasts. Nobody's taking Lore of the Wild.
It's okay. You know what? One of these days, there might be something in there where someone goes, Eureka, I've got it, and tries it and does well. But
okay.
I wouldn't hold your breath
sure, waiting
for that to happen.
Yeah, that's going to be when they're playing against the Wood Elves and their trees singing.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll happen, too.
It's the Athalorn versus the Lore of the Beasts.
The Lore of the Lake.
The Lore of the Wild, whatever it is. The Lore of the Lake.
Dave, round three?
Yeah, so it's funny because you played the guy I played in round two, and then I played the guy you played.
Mm-hmm. Ken Miller?
Stainless, yeah. That was just such a...
The grind you up Chaos Warrior list?
Yeah, and we had the corner deployment.
Yep, so it's the frenzy chariot.
And I moved forward, and he moved forward, and I was trying to... It's like he kind of stopped at one end of the river, and I kind of stopped at the other, and I moved forward a bit. And I was kind of hoping to get him to move forward a little bit more, so if I can get him in the river, he would lose any rank bonuses or anything like that. I was trying for anything I could get, because... And I mean, he asked me at the end of the game, he goes, why did you move forward? Why did you bother to engage me if you knew... I mean, this is Khorne Warriors. I mean, he had him six wide. So he was getting... his Nurgle had two hand weapons and Frenzy Banner.
Yeah.
So they were getting four attacks apiece, so that's 24 attacks in the front row, plus an extra one for the champion. It was 25, and then the back row was another six. So it was like 31 attacks. I mean, it was just stupid. It really was. I moved forward a bit. He declared two charges, the Khorne Warriors and the Chariot, into my block of 25 ghouls. And, rolled a six for the impact hits with these, so seven impact hits with scythed wheels, just takes off five or six guys right there,
mm-hmm.
Gets all of his attacks in, beat me by enough where I had to take off what was left. I mean, there's the unit.
Yeah, it's the one big fear of undead units is that if the combat is big enough, rather than getting a chance to potentially run away, you just disappear off the table.
And he just ate up that unit and then went right through and hit my vampire's skeleton unit. And they didn't hold a chance against that kind of raw power. I tried to bring my other unit of ghouls into the flank to help the skeleton horde.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit his... what's the word I'm looking for? It hit his...
There's two blocks of warriors, one chariot.
Yeah, it hit the chariot. That's it. And even ghouls. You know, their strength 3, toughness 4. I was hitting them on 4s and wounding them. The thing was toughness 5. So I was wounding it on 6s. So it just wasn't happening. It was pathetic. I should have... It's not in me to pull back and have a 20-minute game where I'll stay on my side and you stay on your side.
It's boring.
Yeah, he started coming forward, and I figured...
It's the 7th edition negative play style.
Yeah.
You know, why did you do that? Well, I kind of wanted to play a game.
Well, I tried to get up just close enough to summon up some zombies and move a few things around and try to position myself, but he got off a decent charge roll. Plam. I mean, just wiped stuff out. And then my general cascaded again. Of course, my general cascaded. That's the only miscast I got, and it was cascade.
Yep. Took yourself off the table.
Took him off the table, and then that was it. Once the general was gone, it was the bottom of turn 2 was when the general came off the table.
Under the best of circumstances, that's a loss. I mean, it's hard to put yourself back from that.
I mean, it happens right when it happens, and then it happens again at the end of each friendly player turn. So it happened right when it happened, then it happened at the end of my turn. And those two, those, you know, the just, or however it worked, I don't remember exactly. All I know is the second crumble took the last few models off the board.
Yep.
It was done. It was a slaughter. The only time it was at table one ever for anything. And I couldn't have taken a worse, in fact, I could have taken a worse beating. I didn't give up the extra 100 points for the general because he didn't kill the general.
I think
my general blowed up.
The only way something like your vampire counts could possibly deal with Chaos Warriors is if you're taking your internet list versus this internet list, which would be Graveguard, Regeneration Banner.
Right.
And then you can start, because your guys are ultimately cheaper and more more replenishable than his.
Right. His Corn Warriors might have had a fire banner. I don't remember his Corn Warriors.
Oh, I think they did, actually. Of course they did.
Yeah, so I had to stay away from them with the Wraiths. And even the Wraiths, his one Chaos character in that whole unit, he charges my Wraiths, manages to kill one and do a wound on the other, and my remaining 9 attacks, because I'm already hitting on 4s, and it's minus 1 weapon skill. Mm-hmm. When your ghouls go from a weapon skill 3 to a weapon skill 2, and you're going up against a guy who's got a weapon skill of 5, that was it. I couldn't hit him. He literally did 3 wounds. He charged me and did 3 wounds with his BSB, because he had a magical sword. And
you know what those guys need? Initiative of 4, weapon skill of 4.
That would pretty much balance them out pretty easily there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were having this conversation earlier, folks, of just what's wrong with, you know. And I said they should be a special choice.
That's not a bad idea either. I'm looking forward. It's one of the nice things about 8th edition. It's the first time where it's not power creep. It's power slip.
Yeah, the last two books. Well, actually, the last two books have been very balanced. They've helped the army, but they've made it far more balanced.
Yeah.
So, but that was it. I got pummeled just right out of first place for our pod completely.
Well, can you do? But to be fair, that particular guy, Ken Miller, ended up taking, I think, best overall, didn't he? Best general?
No, he took.
He took
the second prize, the best general.
Best general and obviously best in pod. So he did very well for himself. He scored a lot of points, and he proved that with a positive list, with a powerful list, he was able to absolutely take it the distance. And so congratulations to him.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Chuck and the Wogcast, because the Wogcast group was able to take best group.
Yeah, no, they took any group of 3 or more. Like if you said you were coming with a group, whether it was a gaming group or a podcast or whatever, if you had 3 or more players in the tournament, you got entered into this group thing where they took the average score. And the second prize, or second place, was like 0.25% lower.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really tight. But yeah, Wogcast won that. And they had the raffle, the huge raffle, and lots of people won stuff. You got some K-Dor.
I did, actually. I won one of the raffles. I won a box, a K-Dor battle box, which is great because they didn't have any of those plastics. So,
now, they had a lot of cool stuff there. It was a lot of fun. The entire tournament was a ton of fun.
Invasion Kenosha for $15, it was a stupid deal.
And lunch was provided. And what was lunch? It was
breakfast and lunch.
Oh, that's right. Breakfast was there, too. That's right. There were donuts.
Danish's donuts.
Danish. And
the only thing missing, John, the only thing missing, John. John, are you listening to me? The only thing missing was coffee.
But there were a ton of cases of pop there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, lunch was a couple of these big 2 or 3 foot long subs.
And fried chicken.
And 2 huge ass boxes. I mean, it had to be over 100 pieces of fried chicken there.
It was a ton.
A big tub of those big wedge-cut potato fries. There was one of those big, like, you know, when you buy a meat tray on, the big round plastic meat trays.
Yeah.
Lettuce and tomato. That's it, just to add onto your sandwich. They had just a whole huge side of condiments.
I don't know how he did it, but for $15, that and, I mean, just for the lunch alone, $15, and all the prizes. So, like,
yeah.
We actually ate reasonably. I wouldn't say this is the paragon of nutrition, but our bellies were full. You had as much to eat as you needed.
And I had a piece of a sub sandwich, and it was all delicious.
You ate that sandwich.
I like a good sandwich. Heather says she has sandwich. She don't like sandwich. It's a sandwich.
What's wrong with your brains?
We got a sandwich.
You guys are...
It's a tasty sandwich.
Brainless ridiculous. Sandwich. Ye old wah.
Yeah, but, I mean...
I shall what?
Nah. What else did they... And they had 40K going on.
Yeah, there was a 40K tournament as well.
It was so funny. Every time I walked by, I was like, dear God, because there were so many IG players. They had a 1,500-point tournament.
Imperial Guard.
1,500-point tournament. Now, you look at some guys, and they've got, like, 20, 30 models and two tanks or something. Imperial Guard, this one guy's army had 9 tanks, 2 giant flying ships, and like about 20 models. 20,
yeah.
30. And I was like, oh my God.
It's almost like a different scale because at that point he had the largest possible battle foam case, which was the size of a large suitcase.
Yeah.
And that's what it took.
That's so funny. You know what? I never see this with Warhammer, and this is not making fun of 40K. There's a 40K tournament coming out. I knew exactly who was in what tournament. Some people came with a couple of cases or an army case in there, and some guys came with these giant 40-gallon plastic tubs, the kind you store clothes in.
Well, yeah, 40K has become a vehicle game with troops.
And it's just these huge tubs. I was like, holy crap.
The models are big, and you need big storage.
But it was kind of neat to see, you know, because they were playing right next to us, so you could kind of see the games going on and the stuff.
It sounds like also, now we missed it, but the night before, the Friday, last night to us, was they had some open gaming for War Machine.
Yes, they did. It was, that was posted up on the website when I was looking at the daily calendars, and I was like, wow, that's really great. I had no idea that was going on.
So, all in all, I have to say, I was tremendously impressed. Tremendously impressed with Invasion Kenosha 3. I don't know. I have no idea how he does it. For $15, this was such a bargain.
He got prize support.
We each got a swag bag, too.
Everywhere.
And there were raffles for people who registered early. I did not register early, but I think you did.
Those raffles were hundreds. I mean... of dollars and hundreds of dollars of the prize. Well, dude, the guy who won the 40K tournament got a Dark Eldar army. It was like a battle force and like 5 other boxes of stuff.
Yeah, he got so much stuff.
And the guy who won overall for us got a whole Mantic army.
Yeah, he got the one with like the complete dark, or what is it, undead and dwarf?
Yeah.
Yeah. In addition to, I think, a large box of, was it the High Elves?
It
was very big. So.
Yeah, I mean, there was so many... prizes being given out. It was kind of shocking. But like GW gave them prizes. They had a couple of Games Day tickets they were giving away.
Yeah.
I got a shirt. I got a Games Day shirt from last year. We didn't get to go to last year's Games Day, so I didn't get a shirt. Now I got a shirt. Of course, me being the big fat behemoth I am, they only sent them extra large. So that's the, if you ever see me walking on a Games Day 2010 shirt, congratulate me. Because
you've lost enough weight to put it on.
Yes, I have. If I'm wearing XL.
You got a goal.
Yep. Now, I noticed in his packet here.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Invasion Kenosha 4. Go to invasionkenosha.com. In the nice little big...
That's K-E-N-O-S-A-J.
Yeah. Blood Bowl. 3 days of Warhammer Fantasy events. 40K, RTT, and team tournaments. Volunteers wanted. War Machine, Hordes, Kings of War, and more. June 15th. 16th and 17th
in the year
of next year.
2012. So he's got something bigger and badder planned for Invasion Kenosha 4.
He just went from a demo night for and some open play for Privateer Press and Storm of Magic. I think Storm of Magic was like an impromptu if anyone wants to come.
Mm-hmm.
And a one-day tournament that we left my house. I left here at 8:05 and picked you up, and we were up there. And we were back in this house. We would have been back in this house before 6, but we had to stop over at UGG and get Harrison a new tape measure. But I mean, that from that now it's a 3-day.
Yep. So it'll be starting. That's 15th is Friday, 15th of June through the 17th Sunday of June, and it sounds like it's becoming a bigger and more serious event. Blood Bowl, Warhammer Fantasy, 40K, War Machine, Hordes, Kings of War.
This is a huge step for John. And congratulations to John, because it was a really nice, it was a very fun, well-run tournament. We had a really good time. But going to a three-day event now, that's just, I mean, that's...
That's a big deal. Guys, so if you're out there and you know how to be a part of, if you know how to be a tournament organizer, if you are looking to volunteer to help out with Invasion Kenosha, go to InvasionKenosha.com and contact John, and I'm sure that it would be interesting to hear from you, or if you want to be a part of it, check out that website, and there should be more information about what shall be transpiring.
Exactly. Why don't we take one more break?
And then we can wrap up our show?
Yeah, I guess that's what we'll do.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, bye.
Is your name a killing word? Is your mother a hamster and your father smells of elderberries? Did it turn out that those were the droids you were looking for? If you know what I'm talking about, chances are you're a gamer. What better place to get your game on than the Game Preserve? The Game Preserve specializes in analog games of all types, like board games, family games, chess sets and jigsaw puzzles, and especially hobby games. They carry the complete GW line as well as Magic the Gathering, D&D, and HeroClix. They have gaming space for tournaments, game nights, and demo games just about any night of the week. So stop shopping at the jerk store and be one of the gaming elite. And visit the Game Preserve with 4 Indiana locations to choose from. 2 in Indianapolis, 1 in Bloomington, and 1 in the gaming capital of the universe, Lafayette, Indiana. Visit them at GamePreserveStores.com or call 765-448-4200. Game Preserve. If you're not shopping here, the only winning move is not to play.
Okay, we are back.
Yeah. Now, we should talk just for a moment. Let's remind all of our listeners out there that our contest is still going on until, I believe it was the 23rd of August. Don't forget to write a character for King David.
Yeah, the King David contest is still going on. Joe, we put up the thing and I forgot to put up the contest thread.
Hmm.
So Joe emailed it to me.
Okay.
So I'm going to go today. Joe, if Joe hasn't
posted. Joe Flesh?
Yeah.
Okay.
If Joe Flesh hasn't posted up yet, normally I don't do this. If I get someone who emails me the contest, I'm like, you need to go put it on the forums.
Well, but he sent you something before the link was up. That's
right.
Acceptable. So, that's fine.
Yeah, I sent him back a thing saying, hey, could you post this? But if he didn't, then I'm just going to post his.
Just put it up there.
So, but if you see one posted under my name, that's not me. That's Joe's. I will make sure to type that before I cut and paste the actual entry.
I think that's okay.
I think
you didn't write it. Joe wrote it. He just sent it to your personal email address.
Exactly.
Cool. So don't forget, guys, there's still time. Create something for David. And as always, the prize is it's the Game Preserve 50. So we're talking about $50 or less from plastic, fine cast, whatever. It could be a book, some delightful GW product.
That's right.
And it can be yours if you write the biggest, the baddest, the best, the most creative, the most interesting emulation of our good friend David M. Whitek.
That would be me.
In Warhammer form.
Yep. And I don't have to be a dwarf. I'm just throwing that out there because I've got a feeling.
I'm thinking a man-eater ogre in ninja gear. What's wrong with ninja gear? You want it in pirate gear?
Yes.
Lady man-eater.
I hate you guys.
Okay, fine. You can be a halfling hot pot crewman.
There you go. Halfling hot pot crewman.
Or what do you think? A skink blowpiper?
You're a tool.
I'm a hammer. A garage hammer. A garage hammer.
Eating a sandwich. Over by it air.
What's wrong with you?
Me, lots of things.
All right. So don't forget. So also, guys, as always, we could use your iTunes comments. Make them positive and five-star and just, like, absolutely ravishing. I mean, just talk about how great we are and stuff. I guess.
I started listening to this show, and now I've got a girlfriend. I've got my hair's growing back in.
It's cured my nose hairs.
I had diabetes, and now it's gone.
That's right.
Whatever.
I'm not bald anymore.
Yes. If you get poisoned by a snake, just turn on Garage Hammer, and you'll feel much better.
That's right.
You'll probably still die if you don't seek medical attention.
Unfortunately, nothing was able to help Cranky Lawyer, but he still listens to the show and hopes that that miracle cure will come.
And here it goes. It's always got to be. Got to say something to Cranky.
The one thing it seemed to do for him is that, I don't know, apparently Bobina must have been walking by while he was still single, and said, What are you listening to? Sweet Jesus, I thought you were a troll, but apparently because you're listening to that show, I love you. So I'm reasonably sure that the only reason he scored a winner like his lovely bride was because of Garage Hammer.
He scored a winner.
That's right. not thanks to anything that he did skillfully, merely that he's lucky.
I see.
Yeah.
And it's because of you that him and Bobina are together, because you listened to that show.
You think it was me specifically talking at the time? Well, it's our show. You and I are both on
it. Yeah, but Lord knows that nothing I'm saying on here is going to attract women, so it had to be you.
What are you talking about? Your dulcet voice?
Dulcet voice. I've often been compared to Mr. Dulcet.
Your dulcimer voice?
Dulcimer. Oh, God. Listen.
Garage Hammer dulcimer?
What did I want to say?
You wanted to say...
Next episode. And, folks, I know this episode is short. You're almost at the end of it this week, and it's actually a normal-length episode for other shows.
As a payoff, we intend to do another short show this week.
Yeah. One of the reasons we didn't really work on a topic, because we were playing Kings of War. We got ready for Invasion Kenosha, which we just talked about, and we've been playing some Kings of War. And we are going to be talking about that on Garage Gamer Episode 3.
Even if you don't think you're interested, you guys all play Warhammer. We both strongly recommend that if you play Warhammer, you should tune in to the Kings of War episode. Because, as you'll see, we feel that it's relevant.
Well, we think you should tune into every episode of this show.
Well,
in fact, download it twice, because we could use the numbers.
From unique IPs. Or from unique. Yeah.
Download it once at home, and then download it at work. Because, you know... Nothing says I'm working hard as
downloading someone else's podcast,
because they know then you're working, because you got to do something while you're listening for 4 hours. So there you are plugging away at the keyboard like a slave, and that's awesome. But
parting thoughts, Dave. So you've actually managed to play a game or a tournament with your undead. What did you think? Are you really happy with them? How are you feeling with them so far?
I'm enjoying them a lot.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to playing a bigger points game.
I kind of agree with you. 1600 was a little rough for me.
I've gotten used to playing between 2000 and 2400.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, especially as the more we play, I mean, the games aren't going any quicker the more we play, but we're just, I think, I mean, I play more now than ever. And so it just seems to...
Now, more than ever, yeah.
I just seem to... I don't know. My games seem to go quicker. Like I said, I mean, I went through...
Well, we've had a
today.
Year to practice the rules. Yeah. I think we're all playing a little faster than we used to. I know I was a slow player, and I've tried to make a concentrated effort to pick that up.
I mean, I didn't take more than 85, 90 minutes today on any three of my three games.
Excellent.
I mean, we're just kind of chugging along, tugging through. Like I said, I'm looking forward to being able to add a few more things. I had, with the exception of those four wraiths, I had all core, which I don't have a problem with that per se, but it'll be nice to add in some Grave Guard, maybe add in some, get my Black Coach built and add it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to completely, you know, trick out my vampire. Our friend Brad Pascal, he was over here on Wednesday. Brad was playing back in 5th and 6th edition.
Yeah, he was a dedicated VC player.
And that's all he's ever played.
Well, 5th would be undead. 6th would be
right.
VC.
So maybe he started in 6th, but he's been playing, 6th. Stopped for a little bit in 7th, came back and played, and then he was doing all sorts of other stuff. So a few months before 8th came out, he sort of fell off the map on Warhammer, and then he called me up out of the blue and said, hey, I've been painting it. And Brad was one of those people who only painted his character models.
He liked his special characters.
And he liked to sit there and go into high detail and paint. He very much like you are with your paint, with his painting.
One model, but make it breathe life into it, yeah.
Exactly. And he just got on a painting kick and just like painted up like all his ghouls and all his zombies in a couple of days, just sat down and started painting them all. And he was like, oh, it's so nice to have a fully painted army you're playing with.
Oh, totally. I feel weird because I used to think of myself as a high-detail modeler. And, like, all the models I've been playing with are just, like, super slop because I've had to rush them all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, geez, my painting sucks. But I need to go back to detail.
It doesn't. You're painting at least tabletop quality, if not better. But it's not, I mean, you're not golden demoning out every single model, which...
I have to admit there's a part of me that misses being able to look at a model and say, I did a great job on that one. I miss that. But it's nicer to say that I've got an army that I can take to a tournament.
See, I look and I keep looking and saying, are these models that I painted now? You know, my VC, I painted my VC faster than I've ever painted anything.
Well, you went insane, yeah.
And but I look at them and say, okay, I need to go back and dry brush over a few parts because I did use the varnish.
Yeah.
And so it's got a bit of a shine. But they look good.
Oh yeah.
I'm not looking at them. I mean, I'm not looking at them saying they're good. They could be. Yes, every model I paint, I probably could be better. But when I'm painting 50, or in fact, I did 50, and I'm going to paint another 30 or 40 ghouls. If you're trying to paint them with a consistent theme, consistent color, consistent, it's just to the point where it's like it needs to look good. It doesn't all. You don't have to look at every model and be like, wow, this particular model is amazing. You know, I'm starting to look at it as a unit, and as a unit of ghouls or as a unit of skeletons, do they really look good, cohesive, you know, and do they seem to, you know, I think sometimes the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Agreed. I agree.
And
well,
so
stated.
I've gotten to the point where it's like I'm not worried that each individual model looks gorgeous. I'm worried that each individual model looks good and better than basic tabletop.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell, sir.
And by basic tabletop, I mean three color, because I know that you can do three colors in a dip. I've seen it, and it's not bad. But even my skeletons, I had about six different colors.
You said that you were going to commit to this army till the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to drag that on afterwards, or when the end of the summer comes, what are you thinking?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just kind of waiting around for ogres because I've got an ogre army and I've been playing them a little bit here and there, but it was never anything that I sat down and just really hammered home and played a lot.
Wait, okay. If ogres come out in October, look the way we think, or November, and they improve the army, will you switch?
Probably.
Cool. Well, that'd be cool too. It'd be fun to see.
Probably just because we need someone also to play them to get a good review.
Yeah. For myself, I think that I'll probably continue painting a few guys here and there. I kind of want to paint some wolf boys because I have them.
Right.
But I think that I'm hitting a point where if Kevin Coleman updates the Dwarves of Chaos, or if Tamarcon comes out, I'll continue playing the Chaos Dwarves. But I think I'm ready for a break.
Well, you know what? And that's the thing. It's like I've been actually thinking I want to paint some Slayers, but I'm not playing Dwarves.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's not that I don't like the Dwarves. You know I love my Dwarves.
Well, you don't want to play Dwarves right now. You've played them a lot. You played them on all of 7th. You started playing them through 8th.
I played them for about 4 years.
Yeah.
And right now, I need a break from Dwarves.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel the same way about the Chaos ones.
Yeah. And so it's just, like, I need to move a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, before we go, next episode, 8th edition's been out over a year. A lot of people are talking about what they think about it.
Yep.
And what's going on. So I'm thinking next episode that'll be like one of our main topics. We didn't really have a main topic this episode, which is why we
had Invasion Kenosha. We're waiting. Right. We're
waiting to see what they're going to say is coming up next. Because once they say next, then we can waste lots of time talking about senseless, pointless rumors that wind up only turning out to be half true. But they fill a lot of time, and it's fun to wish list.
Okay, Garage Hammer, wasting your time with pointless drivel.
Well, you know, the rumors are always, like, you know, at best half true, sometimes a little better than half true.
But the nice thing about the at least GW-inspired rumors, get the creative juices flowing. You start to say, okay, if this is what they're going to do, then this is how I want to respond to that with my next army.
Right.
It allows you to at least start dreaming and planning.
And that's when we get into the fun conversations where we start wish listing. Well, here's what they need. Here's what they should do. Here's what it should go on. But so if anyone's got anything they would like us to talk about or any questions they have, I mean, okay, I'm not going to say it's a listener mailbag episode next week, but we've been playing 8th for over a year. Are there any, just anything in there? I mean, don't call with a specific rules question email us with that. But if you've got, hey, what do you think of this in 8th, or how do you think this has gone so far? Do you think this is going to come back, or what do you think is going to change, or I really love this. What do you think? I mean, just whatever. Send it out, and we'll read through most of them, if not all of them. I mean, Lord knows we're not strapped for time. So we'll go through and read them and put them up there. Maybe we'll have a couple of if we can get a couple of friends in time, we'll get a few people on.
I think we could probably scrape up a friend.
We could probably scrape up a couple of people who are willing to be on the show.
Meanwhile, yeah, so so you're going to continue playing your undead. We'll get some practice in, and we'll field some questions for the next show.
And, guys, I know this isn't going to last you as long as it usually lasts you up to. It won't take you till the next episode to listen to this one, but sometime this week, if not.
I think this week.
This week, yeah, yeah. We'll be recording the new Garage Gamer, so that'll be out really shortly.
Kings of War, and look, foreshadowing. I love that game.
I gotta say, I had an absolute blast playing that game.
It was funny because I was optimistic. I wanted to get into it, but I had this small fear that the rules were too trim, and they're not too trim.
No, there's a lot of strategy and a lot of fun. It's not a complex game, not as complex, not as many moving parts and bits and things.
Not as many options as Warhammer has built in, but it kind of doesn't matter.
But if you like a fantasy game, you could do a lot worse than at least giving this one a shot. Give us a list.
Should give this a shot. You can download the rules for free. You already have Warhammer armies. Either that or you're just listening because you're beating yourself up wishing you had Warhammer
armies.
And
even if you don't have the army that you want to play in Kings of War, let me give you a little hint, which we were talking about before, and we'll get into it on the next episode. You could literally play this one with empty movement trays with the name of the unit on a piece of paper on the tray. It's that easy to get a demo or try it. It's not nearly as fun.
But it won't look good, but it will work for the time being until you can get the models.
Yeah, to get the hang of it.
Because the movement tray is the playing piece. Well, we shouldn't give it away too
much.
Right,
no, we don't want to go too far. But, folks, tune in for this. It's going to be coming up really shortly because, actually, since Christopher and I have played it, we have talked about it at least two or three times.
It's something else. Yeah, really good.
Every time we look back on the game we played, we're like, oh, wait, we could have done this. Oh, this has potential. Oh, this is really elegant. This works really clever.
It was a lot more than we thought.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So send in the contest stuff for me. Send in the questions for us for next week.
And go in our store and buy a big hoodie.
Yes, go buy a hoodie or an iPad cover.
Or a bumper sticker.
You definitely want a bumper sticker.
Or a baby t-shirt.
We should make posters.
People
could put posters of us up in their room on the Garage Hammer Dwarf and Elf.
I have to admit, that makes me a little kind of funky squirrely. I'm like, wait a minute.
That's kind of cool.
Is it?
People got posters. Well, it's not really of us. It's of our drawings.
Those are our faces.
Yeah. And there'll be us up in someone's room smiling down.
You know what? I have a better idea. Yeah, go ahead and do that. Get a poster and then cut my side off and just leave up the side with David and then draw a heart around it.
And then what do they
take
do
a picture of it and put it on Twitter.
And then what do they do with your half
and
of the poster?
And then put it on the Facebooks.
You know what? I really don't care what you do with the poster as long as you buy one.
Yeah, at that point, I mean, I don't. Yeah, just buy 17 and then, you know, create a boat out of it. I don't care.
Don't just buy them and burn them in effigy, though. That I would appreciate you not doing that.
Go ahead and buy 17 more.
All right, folks. See you in a couple of weeks with some year in Warhammer talk and maybe some
hopefully Games Day information. Hopefully some upcoming news.
Oh, we'll have our Games Day. We'll be able to talk about what we did at Games Day too.
So coverage as well.
That will be plenty to talk about. Back to 3 hours,
guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
You've been listening to Garage Hammer. We invite you to join us on Facebook at Garage Hammer Podcast and to follow us on Twitter. If you wish to email us, you can reach Christopher at GarageHammerAtLive.com. You can reach David at David@GarageHammer.net. And if you want to reach the both of us, you can reach us at GarageHammerAtLive.com. If you enjoyed the show, please let others know about us by leaving us a positive review on iTunes.
I want to see Ogre Love. I want to see Ogre Love. I want to see Ogre Love. Dirty Ogre Love. It's
Ogre Love.
I can see that.
Owee, owee, oh.
I would buy that CD. I'd download it from iTunes.
Want to grab your gut plate.
My Ogre Love. Owee,
owee.
Yeah, that.